I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio,
it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
All right, time now for the Steve Cochran Show, and this will be show number 1211. Andy Mazur's in for Dave Ennett after Northwestern opened the season with a nice win.
Yeah.
Even though they took the second half off, apparently. I didn't see a minute of the first half, and I turned it on at halftime. It was 31-17. I go, wow, that's a lot of offense.
Mm-hmm.
At this rate, they could score 62 points.
They were on pace.
And then second half, nothing.
Zippo.
Yeah, that is, Andy. That's what we call in the business a halftime adjustment by the defense.
Correct. A halftime adjustment by the Purdue Boilermakers coaching staff. But, hey, it wasn't enough.
Nice win and a stupid penalty at the end of the game by a kid from Purdue named Lorenzo Neal that sort of helped seal the deal. But what was it, 31-27?
31-27.
But I would say it wasn't that close.
No, I think Northwestern outplayed him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. Nice win. Why are you not on the air?
I don't know.
Okay, now you're on the air.
Can you hear me now?
There you go. Okay.
Were they so successful the first half because of the trickery of not telling us who was the quarterback until the last minute?
I think that's probably it.
Possibly, yeah.
Complete trickery.
I think Purdue had a notion that it might be Clayton Thorson.
He looked pretty healthy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, talk about 9 months after ACL surgery. He's like Adrian Peterson, the running back that came back very quickly from ACL surgery as well.
So congratulations, Northwestern. That's one. And we'll keep in touch with Coach Fitz in the next few days to talk to him about what comes next. Who do they play next?
They play Duke at Ryan Field.
Oh, Duke's always tough.
Mm-hmm.
Those smart kids from Duke against the smart kids from Northwestern.
Yeah. It's the ACT Bowl.
I like the halftime thing where the band comes out and forms Pythagoras' theorem.
Is it really?
No.
Oh.
It should be. Should be.
Yeah, I think that'd be a nice name for it.
That's funny.
Lou's coming up. If you want to be Lou's first call, 312-981-7200 is the number.
Can I tell you something about Lou real quick? So, you know, we write promos every day. I write four promos for all the other shows to read.
Mm-hmm.
And last night when I was heading into yoga, I heard Anna Delantas read one of the promos. And this was the promo she read, which I get bored writing them, so I come up with things that...
How could you get bored talking about this show?
It's hard to come up with four different things to say about the same things all the time. So this was the promo she read. Lou Manfredini joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow at 6:20 a.m. with all the fixes for your problems, including wedding planning and car buying consultation.
And she just read it straight?
So she read it straight, and Rose like, wedding planning, that's a big task. As a person who just had a daughter get married last year, I'll tell you, people think dads just write the checks, but they really are involved. And it was just so funny because I just made it up.
Right, and suddenly it turned into a soliloquy.
Yeah, but then they were talking about how wedding planning and...
By the way, we should say, just by point of clarity, Ro had a daughter get married.
Oh, yeah.
Not Anna.
Yeah, Anna's daughter.
Anna's daughter is four, I believe, maybe five.
Yeah, no, she's in second grade, I think, but still. Anyway, it was funny. It was funny to hear them take... Wedding planning.
I'm still stuck on the fact that you're bored writing promos for the show. I mean, I think it'd be thrilling.
It's hard. It's difficult some days.
Why can't you just say the same thing for each one?
Well, because you're supposed to make it sound interesting, man.
Yeah, because if you heard the idiots on this station, you got to make sure that you give them something to promote.
I mean, you could just say Lou's coming up on Friday, but...
I mean, are you going to turn that over to Bill and Wendy and expect something to happen here? John Williams? John Williams talking to dead presidents for crying out loud. You got to give him something. all right, let's get to it. The top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Man.
There's a President Trump story I don't even want to do. I mean, I'll do it, but not yet. John McCain will be honored again tomorrow. The senator's body will lie in state today at the Capitol Rotunda. Obviously, that's an honor as well and a very rare one. Vice President Mike Pence will speak at a ceremony today honoring John McCain, who did not want President Trump to attend his funeral remembrance, or Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin also not invited to the services in Arizona or in Washington or in Annapolis. Annapolis will be the smallest one. Yesterday, Vice President Biden just knocked it out of the park. I mean, you'd expect nothing less. But when you open it with, I'm Joe Biden, I'm a Democrat, and I love John McCain, pretty strong. Yeah.
I do like the concept of inviting and not inviting people to your funeral.
Are you inviting? No, you didn't invite me to your wedding. Are you inviting me to your funeral if you go first?
I don't think so.
Of course, if you go first, it'd have to be tragic.
Yeah. Well, you never know. But if I might start a list. Just put it in
now,
there.
Now, why am I not invited to your funeral?
Well, I'm not into a big group, so I think I just want it to be intimate.
I don't see that. I see that as you want a big party to say goodbye. Because you're not going to be at it.
You're going to have a security guard at the door blocking people?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Sorry, and then you got to wake and a funeral.
It'll be like every radio event. If your name's not on the list, you can't get in.
Funeral bouncer.
Yeah, big guy with a clipboard.
You know what? I'm going to
put a velvet rope.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put Marlene Wells out at front.
Oh, well, then you're fine.
She can turn people away. Totally she has no problem with that.
No, Marlene Wells, all 47 pounds ever. Don't cross her. Next, a buildup of methane gas was suspected as causing an explosion at Cook County's oldest water treatment plant on the far south side yesterday. Collapsed a roof, injured 10, two trapped under steel beams and rubble. I mean, a hot mess. And as far as we know, those two that were injured are going to be okay. Is that accurate,
yes.
Stephen?
It is accurate, yes. And good, they're good. Looking for, you know, more on the cause of how this all happened in the first place. So that'll be the focus today.
Next, State Child Services missed opportunities. That's a quote. Missed opportunities to help the family before a Little Village fire that killed 10, according to the inspector general. The department investigated the mother who lived there predominantly on allegations of inadequate supervision 21 times since 2004. And thus the missed opportunities. Do we know what started the fire?
We do not yet. We do know it's not arson. There's a suspicion that it could have been fireworks or something like that.
But the kids are home alone, obviously.
The kids were there unsupervised, yes.
Awful story. Awful.
And that's what the, you know, it's funny. We talked about that woman in Wilmette who let her daughter walk the dog in DCFS. Had a check on that.
It became a national story.
Right.
And idiotic. Then, but part of the reason it was idiotic. Going to go down a deep hole here. But part of the reason it was idiotic, I feel, is that that should have been handled by the two people. Didn't need to have a camera crew involved. You know, if Kat, when she was 7 or 8 years old, was allowed to walk a dog, and I turn you into the authorities, okay, maybe it's because I'm concerned, or maybe I'm being the neighborhood nudge. Either way, why couldn't you have a conversation with me, neighbor to neighbor?
Well, she called the police. Yeah, so
that's my point.
The woman. Yeah, the neighbor. Yeah, but I'm just saying this. These people have visited 21 times for leaving their kids alone.
And some neighbors don't like to have conversations with each other. As a matter of fact, lots of neighbors
until the media is involved, until we bring in camera crews.
I don't know what happy street you live on, but my neighbors, I have some neighbors that...
No, that's not the point, Steve. The point is, why does it have to be a news story? Why is it a news story that this kid may or may not have been supervised?
The mom posted on Facebook.
Right. That's the point. Can't anybody handle anything without bringing it into some measure of social media? This is not old guy on the porch stuff. This is common sense.
Yeah.
All right, next. I'm not going to do the Trump story yet. Okay. Andy, do you want me to do it now?
I would like you to do it when you're comfortable doing it.
I'm never going to be comfortable doing it.
I feel like a sense of doom coming here. What's going on with this Trump story?
No, you know the story. It'll make your head explode as well. Was that the last Bears preseason game?
Thankfully, yes.
Did I miss the entire preseason?
I think you did.
Bears blew a 20-0 halftime lead and lost 28-27 to the Bills. Yeah, and I'm telling you, the whole city is about to shut down.
I'm telling you, forget about Northwestern, forget about the Cubs, the White Sox. Yeah, everybody's worried about the Bears.
Well, they look so good, and then boom.
What are you doing watching Bears preseason football?
I love the Bears. I'm
all the things that were on last night.
I know you love football, but it's preseason football.
So what? It's fun to watch all the people that aren't going to make the team.
What do you watch with like a box of Kleenex? Oh, I'm so sorry.
I really love that Nall guy, NALL.
Yeah, Ryan Nall.
he's awesome. And then I said to my son, who we text during the game, he lives in Madison, and he's like, oh, he's not going to make the team, Mom. I'm like, what? He should make the team.
Practice
and is he going to make the team?
Probably practice squad.
Maybe have him come out to your house and just throw the ball around for a while.
I thought he did fantastic.
Next, would you buy meat from a vending machine? Depends how hungry you are. Joshua Applestone, founder of Applestone Meat Company in Stone Ridge, New York, says, yep, you will. He's got four machines selling high-end meat cuts. $21.99 bone-in ribeye steaks, for example. The four machines account for 70% of his sales right now, which is about 3,000 pounds of meat per week. Millennials love it because it's quick and easy. Considering the fact that meat needs to be fresh, you know, if it's coming out of a machine, I got questions.
It's a lot of quarters, too.
This is like buying the hot dog at 7-Eleven, isn't it? Doesn't this kind of rise to that level?
You got
to
be really hungry?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think he said that the millennials like it because they're not limited by the butcher counter hours. You know, the butcher leaves at 7. You can still get your hands on it.
So when I get wasted and I'm still hungry at 2 a.m., I can go out and get the food. I guess I got to do it. The Trump story. And what could be the most ridiculous lie of the 5,000 lies he's told since he came to office? Yesterday, President Trump tweeted out that Lester Holt fudged his interview. This is Donald Trump on tape in his own words saying that he fired James Comey, the FBI director, because it was his decision. And then the next day he told the Russians he needed to take the pressure off in the Oval Office. It's not Lester Holt. It's Donald Trump. In his own words, are you effing kidding me? And the fact that this is not the prime, I'm telling you, look, you support the president because you believe in the president. Congratulations. You think he's doing a nice job? Good for you. Explain to me how anyone normal between the years could say something like that, let alone the president of the United States. Matter of fact, I'll take texts. Any texters who would like to explain to me how that excuse for why he said what he said to Lester Holt makes any sense at all. And if you tell me NBC edited the tape, you're listening to the wrong show. I would invite you maybe to turn your radio off, go out for a walk, and get some fresh air. He's lying again about himself being on tape. Good God, man.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Lou Manfredini live from the studios of Channel 9. By the way, I'll be up there later this morning. How long are you going to hang around?
I'll be gone by 7:01.
Can't make it then. I'm still here. Going to be hard for me to get there by then.
Our fine sponsor here for the Lou's First Call on the Steve Cochran Experience, the American Weathermakers.
Yeah, Dick Hofstra.
Yeah, he was at the party.
Yeah, I spent some time talking to him. Yeah.
With his hot wife.
Yeah, she's beautiful. Dick's over his skis there.
And the only one with the name tag.
Right, with the name tag.
I love that.
Exactly.
Dick was reporting to Steve that they've got the positive feedback way increased when they started adding her to the commercials.
Yeah.
He's a smart man. Yeah.
He's a smart man.
And I'm going to tell you something right now. The woman can change a humidifier faster than any tech they have.
Well, makes her even hotter then, doesn't it?
Right.
Or cooler or more comfortable.
More comfortable.
Yes. How are you?
It could really go in a bad direction.
That's why I'm saying, how are you?
Great. I am great. I'm looking forward to the Labor Day weekend.
What are you going
to
do?
I'm going to wear white pants all weekend long.
I don't blame you. Get it in while you can.
Yeah, right.
Where are you going anywhere?
Just, you know, we have a home in southeastern Wisconsin, so we're going to spend some time up there.
Okay. How many kids? Lou has 14 kids, and it's hard to get them all together.
Yeah, actually only two.
That's disappointing, but those two are going to be moving up in the will.
Oh, yeah, right. No. Then they're going to get they get a bigger share of the meal.
Nah, there you go. Good call by you. I didn't even ask the fine staff of this program. Sandberg, what are you doing for Labor Day?
I'm just hanging out, playing some golf.
Okay. Mary Vanderbilt?
I'm going to Wisconsin, and all my kids are going to my house in Villa Park. I don't care.
So your plan, Mary, worked out perfectly.
Yeah, it's great. My husband and I are going up, and they're coming down.
Love it.
What are you doing, Steve? How's that going to go? All right, good talk.
Awesome.
Andy, what are you doing?
I'll probably be sitting right here.
Oh, you're working
all
weekend.
In this very chair, yeah.
Yeah, you're working all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Pete, what are you doing this weekend? You doing anything, Pete Zimmerman? By the way, Super Joe's off this weekend. Or this today, I should say.
No.
Nothing? Okay. Okay, well, nobody wants to know what I'm doing. I guess we're out of time.
Hey, Steve, what are you doing?
I'll be in Traverse City, Michigan.
Oh, are you going to play golf up there?
No, actually, we have a nephew who moved there about a year ago from New York, who is the fire chief of Traverse City.
No way.
And I'm going up to see him.
If you ever get the chance to go to the Traverse City Airport, which I've been to a couple times, when you go through the airport, it's like you're going through someone's summer home.
Really?
That's what the airport feels like.
Do they have a runway?
No, they do have a runway, and I remember the first time I flew up there, the pilot, we were landing, and then all of a sudden, we weren't landing.
Oh, a touch and go?
And the guy gets on, there was a small plane, and he said, yeah, I missed the runway. We'll come back around.
Wow.
It was truthful.
Wow.
I was like, okay. I'm like, when the guy turned sitting next to me goes, hope he can do it next time.
Yeah. We're going to need you to not miss it this time.
Is it a cherry festival or anything going on up there?
No, but it's Labor Day weekend, so it'll be nuts.
Oh, it's beautiful. Traverse City is really a beautiful town.
Yeah, and it is a tourism knucklehead haven for, 4 months of the year.
Yeah, right.
And then it slows down.
Right, which you're going to contribute to.
Yeah.
I'll be shirtless and pantsless all weekend.
Are you driving the Tahoe?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're taking multiple vehicles.
Multiple? Nice. Maureen's going to drive herself?
Her sister's in town, and they may stay an extra day. So, you know, I have very important duties when I come back here.
You're telling them to stay an extra day so you can ride by yourself.
Your sister's coming. I'll drive separately.
Yeah.
What's that in the back of the car? Oh, nothing. Don't pay no attention to what's under that blanket.
There's a golf course I used to play in New Buffalo, and I can't think of the name. It was a Ken Venturi-designed golf course, but I really liked it. Close to the highway. Yeah. This is when I commuted back and forth to Detroit for the three longest years of my life in 1999. All right, 6:32. Guess what? We're late, so let's go to Nita. Good morning, Nita.
Good morning.
You've got bathroom caulk troubles.
Yes, I do.
What's the question?
Okay. I, about 2 years ago, had one of those modular units put in the bathroom. And they used a lot of caulk, like under the sliding door and then also on the seams. And my question is, as I've cleaned it, the caulk under the sliding door got moldy and it pulled out. And then I also do have mold, too, in some of the seam caulks, and I've tried everything that I can figure on it. But do I need to replace that caulk that's underneath the sliding door?
Well, if the caulking is, peeling away already, chances are the mildew or the mold is underneath the caulking, which is why you can't clean it. So I would use carefully a utility knife to cut away what you can, the larger pieces of it. Use a plastic putty knife, which has a sharp edge, but it won't damage either the metal of the door or the acrylic of the shower surround. And then Goo Gone makes a caulk removal product that you can squirt on there, let it sit for about 10 minutes or so, and then with that plastic putty knife and a nylon stripping brush, which looks like a giant toothbrush, clean that all up. Then wipe it clean, kind of with a damp cloth, and then use 100% silicone caulking to re-caulk it, and allow that to dry for 24 hours.
You need that written out, Nita? You need him to come to the house and do it for you?
No, actually, I got it all down. But can I ask one other quick question?
Yeah, but remember this, Nita. It's very simple. Remember this. If the caulking's peeling, you need some new sealing. Huh? That's at 6:30 in the morning.
That's a T-shirt right there.
That's it. All right, what's your follow-up question?
Okay, just very quickly, I have a basement entrance into the house. The cement walls are in, once you get down the bottom of the stairs, I know for moisture, but some of the surface cement has come off in hunks. Can I just patch that?
There's a terrific patch that you'll find at probably your local hardware store called Tintcrete, T-I-N-T, Tintcrete, that comes in different sizes, and you can mix that up. They make it in both an old-looking finish and a new finish, depending on the age of the concrete. So the old finish has a little tinge of brown to it, and it really does match well. Use that, mix it up in a bucket, use a steel trowel to use that on the vertical surface to finish it all off, and you'll be amazed at the result.
The old finish looks like me.
Right. A little tinge of brown.
Yeah. Brownish, tanned up, but old.
Right. You're my brown-eyed girl.
Congratulations, Nita. You've won an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat. Allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone from anywhere. American Weathermakers brings you that, the 60 Minute Men, 855-955-HVAC. Hold on for us, okay?
Do you remember
okay, thank
when
you. Thank you
used to sing sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-da?
312 texter.
Are we still on the air?
I figured at some point the exposure to chemicals would get to Lou.
Too much paint thinner.
312. Lou, do you know anything about the Milorganite shortage?
I do know about the Milorganite shortage. It's not good.
All right, good. 847. last question. Lawns, do we pop those holes in them now and aerate?
No, it's so damp and the soil is so wet. Don't do it yet. Give it another month or so. But the Milorganite shortage that you talked about, I just did a video yesterday showing people how to apply that, and it is coming back. I think that Summerfest, you know, helped people catch up. So you can buy bags of it and put it in the spreader and do the lawn right now, and you'll really get it greened up for the month of September, October, before we put the things to bed.
Remember that great movie where Henry Fonda worked in an Ace Hardware store and the sadness that swept across America during the first Milorganite shortage?
I do. It was like the potato famine.
Yeah, there's no question. Happy Labor Day weekend.
I love you.
Love you back. See you back. Headlines next, 720 WGN. .645, here's the text question today. At what age are men most attractive as you go into the last weekend of summer? You know, when you're checking us out, hey, my eyes are up here. At what age are men most attractive? I'll tell you why I bring that up in just a second. But first, yes, you have something for me.
I do. We have a listener, Margot Moore.
Margot Moore.
Yeah, she grew up in the north suburbs, but she lives in Albuquerque now. However, she's back in Chicago this weekend vacationing.
Hi, Margot.
And she loves listening to us, and she thinks that she and I are kindred spirits, and I agree. The thing she misses most in Albuquerque is she can't get good pizza, so she orders Lou's to go a lot.
Where else are you kindred spirits? Does she do a lot of laundry and tells people
likes,
not to touch it?
Yeah, Bounty paper towels.
Uh-huh. Does she freak out if anyone in her life puts things in the wrong place?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Okay. She sounds like a...
She sounds totally normal to you?
Yeah, she is. She's fabulous. So her and we chat on Facebook sometimes. So
I completely support both of you. Hi, Margot. Thanks for listening. I'm told, correct me if I'm wrong, because, you know, you produce this thing, that Pete has a new cat or two in his life.
Yeah.
Pete. Let's go live to Pete Zimmerman at Cat Central. Pete, how many cats do you have now?
Currently, we have four cats.
Four cats and a dog?
And two dogs.
Four cats and two dogs. You understand you're one cat away from being the cat lady in the neighborhood.
Just to give some backstory, 3 days ago, he and his wife just had two dogs and one cat. So they added three cats in a 48-hour period.
Three cats. Where did the cats come from?
Lulu's Locker. We're fostering a mama cat and her one-week-old kittens.
Yeah, they're very cute kittens. What happens after the week? Or 2 weeks, or however long.
You get them, Steve.
We're looking for their forever homes. But
I've already decided for them that they're going to be, what I learned, a foster failure, which means you keep them. You failed at fostering.
Right.
Yeah,
so right. You're just going
to
adopt
them.
They
have to keep them because I'm going to need to
Let's not pretend Pete gets a vote here.
You know what? He texted me yesterday. He has no vote. It's
no,
all up to Molly.
No, of course you don't have a vote.
No, of course
you
don't.
Yeah. So what do you anticipate as far as the timeline goes for these kitties? When would you have to make a decision? Or when would they make a decision? And by the way, who are they?
The
cat people. The cat people
Lulu's,
who tell you.
Like, how do you get a potential
parents? How do you get a cat? How long do you keep a cat?
It depends. You know, I mean.
Does Lulu come by the house and check?
I think they want. All they care about is getting the cat into a home. It doesn't matter where. A happy home. Doesn't
right.
matter where.
Stable, safe.
Is. Yeah. So, I mean, they're fine with us now. So.
Well, Molly, your wife, told me that the mama is purring nonstop, which sounds to me like the mom likes this house.
Well, why wouldn't the mom like this house?
I know.
It's being treated very well.
Yeah, so I think that...
what do your dogs think of this?
Well, they're separated right now. They have to be isolated for a couple of weeks, so right now they're currently in my office.
And what are the dogs doing?
The dogs just kind of like hang out by the door and look.
Do any of them sleep with you?
All the two dogs and our cat sleep with us.
Again, you're not getting a vote on that, are you?
We have a twin bed.
Are you serious?
No, just kidding.
You're not getting a vote on that either, right?
No.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen photos. The dogs and the cat take up all of Pete's side. Like, Molly has room to sleep, but...
Oh, you're like the sitcom edge of the bed guy?
Yep. Yeah. I haven't had a good night's sleep in 8 years.
But you're happy. That's the main thing.
Yeah. I guess so.
All right. If we go back to Pete and the eggplant, have any new eggplants showed up?
No, they have not.
Is that related to the cats being in the house somehow?
No, I think it's related to it getting some publicity on
this,
720.
This program? Mm-hmm. On the Steve Cochran Show?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Show that Sandberg finds boring to promote. The eggplants, for those of you who don't know, Andy, you may not know this.
I've heard, yes.
Pete had a series of eggplants dropped off in front of his house with gang-like markings in them.
It's not good.
No. But now that the kitties are at your house, they can protect you.
I think so.
Okay. All right. Well, update us on the cats and let us know what's happening.
Because, I will, yeah.
You know, the public will want to know that you're doing well there.
They have fostered dogs in the past. There was two dogs, Lenny and Frogger, and they would both actively post on social media, look how good these dogs get along with our other dogs. You want to take this dog mm-hmm. and make it your own.
And those are somewhat, those are kind of lies.
Yeah, because sometimes the dogs are wild and, you know, but
the sort of lying foster guy. How hard was it to give up the dogs?
It's hard, yeah. When you welcome an animal into your home, you know, I know that...
How do you think you'd do with foster children? Would those be easier to give up?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, they probably would be easy.
All right, when are men most attractive? Oh, it's an age-old question. Andy, you're 52?
51.
51.
So I'm thinking 51.
You may be right at the number. All right, 6:54. In my effort not to talk about Donald Trump and have my head explode, I found something else that's interesting going into the weekend. This is from a website called Fatherly.com. The notion that men get more attractive with age is not entirely true. A recent study found that, at least in the online dating world, men peak at what age? Anybody want to guess? Mary Vandeville, what age do men peak?
35.
Steve Grzanich, what do you think?
I'm going to say 35 as well. That seems like a right age.
Pete Zimmerman, you and your cats, what are you voting?
30.
Andy?
Boy, I'm going to go 38.
38. I would have said 40. I would have also been wrong. Sandberg, any idea?
I'm going to say 49 because that's what my husband is, and he's the most attractive.
Oh, stop it.
Super Joe, who's not here today, he texted in 31, obviously, because he's 31. 31. Mm-hmm.
Men peak at age 50,
what?
According Whoa. To the survey. 50.
Yeah. Wow, that's me. I'm 50.
Good luck there, handsome.
Wow.
Preferences are hard to measure. The person behind the survey said, however, we're actually pretty good at figuring out what we like overall. Still, there's a big gap between initial impulses and long-term happiness because we all judge each other on appearance initially. The woman in charge of this explains the notion of older men's appeal may be exaggerated, and if some men get more attractive when they age, despite harsh beauty standards, same could be said for some older women as well. The scorecard's unfair, and the scorecard's mm-hmm. different, and we're all not George Clooney. It's just George Clooney and me.
Yeah, agreed.
So, but if 50 is the peak, I'm looking for a survey that says, how far do you crash by 57?
Yeah, we're on the back nine.
At 57. Yeah. Back nine. Mm-hmm. I got three to play. I'm at a 16th tee.
I'll beat you at the 19th hole.
Does the peak last 1 year and then at 52 it starts going down, or is it a slow burn?
I make the point on stage, and I believe this to be true. At 49 and 364 days, you're feeling pretty good.
Yes.
At 50, somebody flips a switch and crap starts falling apart.
It's a rapid decline.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, you're out of warranty, you know?
Oh, come on. I know some guys that look better at 60 than they did at 50.
It doesn't mean they feel great, you know what I'm saying?
No, yeah. That's true.
Mary, why don't you ask what the peak for the ladies are?
I don't want to know.
The ladies.
It's really bad information.
Same survey. Well, this could water down the survey for some of you. The same survey says women peak at 18.
What?
So we've been declining for a long time, Mayor.
You're not sick. 18?
Yeah, I don't believe that at all.
Let's get some kvothier and talk about
well,
the
Well, if women have kids, you wipe out your 30s. You just wipe out the whole decade. Hold you just don't look good.
How old are you, Mary?
She's the same age as me.
I'm the same age
I know,
age
I'm waiting
you.
For her to say it. How old are you, Mary?
I'm 57.
Yeah, I think women peak at 58, don't you?
Thank
easily.
You.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I feel the best I've ever felt, I think.
Well, you look fabulous.
Because, you know, kids are all grown, and now you have time to take care of yourself a little bit.
Right, and there's not a great chance you're going to get pregnant at this point.
Yeah, that's the best thing about it.
Yeah. this survey, we can post this if you like, but just know that that's the gist of it. But I'd be curious as to your number. What's your number? When do men appear to be most attractive to you, and why?
There's a listener here that says they're 55, and they've been dating a 27-year-old since June, and it's not about the money because he doesn't have any.
So this is the 27-year-old that's texting.
Who's 27, the girl or the guy?
He says, I'm 55.
Oh, I'm 55.
Oh, I'm 55 and I don't have any?
I'm dating a 27-year-old since June. It's not about the money because I don't have any. So
doesn't have to be about the money, pal, but no. I can tell you right now, if she's 27, it's not about everything you think it's about.
Yeah.
I'm just glad you're listening.
I wonder
man.
How that works.
And by the way, you're my hero on some level.
If they're out for a drink, you know, and he doesn't get carded, so,
oh,
but she
cute
gets
it is. No, this is what happens. Waiter comes over and goes, oh, that's great. What's your dad doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's up to go to the bathroom again for the fifth time during dinner.
Ooh, the 224. My husband is 56, and he's hotter than ever.
Well, there
I
you
bet
go.
He is, yeah.
That's nice. That's good. I have, and it hasn't happened in a while, but in recent years, I've been out to dinner with Maureen, who I've been married to for a long time, and she's laughing when I come out of the bathroom before we leave, and she said, yeah, they wanted to know if your dad went to get the car.
And the fact that you just said, when I come out of the bathroom before we leave, because Pat always goes to the bathroom before we leave a restaurant. I'm like, we're going home. You can't wait till we get home. You have to like, use the bathroom.
Learn. Oh, you'll learn. Give it time.
What did Maureen tell you, though? You guys have a friend that also does morning radio, so it aged you, or you guys both look way older than you are, or something.
I listen, when I was 5, I used to buy beer for my friends, so, you know, it's not a... Some of us are just blessed with that face.
Someone from the 312, don't ever have kids. It makes every decade great. So there you
don't
go.
Don't ever have kids. Wow. 6:59, news next, 720 WGN. But now this. Oh, we're going right to the news. That's right. You told me that, Pete. But you know, Pete, working with me, part of the thrill of working with me is tell me things 12 times, and maybe I'll remember it on the 13th. Text question, at what age do men peak, according to a survey released yesterday? Men peak at 50. I mean, I had a good run.
Me too.
Women do not peak at 18. This is the other part of the survey. It said women peak at 18, which is ridiculous. Women do not peak at 18. Older women are sexy. Yes, they are. We don't mean 19, 20, and 21-year-olds, of course. you can look at a young woman and go, well, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you are going to chase her down the street and have to have a restraining order. You know, and I would hope that you become age appropriate as you age.
And that's the thing. I mean, because if you're 30, you're not going to be looking at a 55-year-old woman the same way you are when you're 55.
The great misnomer for 95% of men, 99% of men maybe, is that an attractive 30 or 35-year-old woman is really into you when you're 50 or 60 or 65. Because here's the bulletin. She's getting attention from everyone. And they're all younger than you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to ruin your weekend. I'm just saying, splash of reality. A couple more texters here. It probably depends if you're happily married or not. On any given day, I think my husband will peak the day he's buried. I don't know if that person's happily married or unhappily married.
I think it depends on the day.
Well, that's probably true, right? But any given day, my husband will peak the day he's buried. So let's go positive here. She's hot for him, and she knows he's going to get better right up until the end of his life. Or the other part. One or the other. Somebody texted in and said, whatever age Pat Brady is that right? Or is that
correct. And then they wrote, grr.
Wow. Look at that.
Well, Pat's a good-looking dude.
And he's 57, so that means by association, Steve, you are also grrr.
Thanks. Thanks. I'm glad you had to bring in an association there. Let's see what else I have. My husband's 56, and he's hotter than ever. And here's a guy. I'm 55, been dating a 27-year-old since June. It's not about money. I don't have any. We talked about that a few minutes ago. The rule is half your age plus 7.
Mm-hmm.
Half of 55 is 27 and a half. Plus 7 is 34 and a half. You're under the number, pal. I'm going to have to see you in my office.
Wait, can you do that math again real quick?
Half your age plus 7.
Carry the 1 minus 2. Okay.
Yeah. Evelyn Sanguinetti is the lieutenant governor, and she will speak at the International Overdose Awareness Day events today. We know about the opioid crisis in this country. Do you know how bad it is in Illinois? And here's the lieutenant governor. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve, Mary, and Andy. It's a big party over there.
Yeah, it usually is. You know, we usually have a big thing going on here. Thank you for coming on. The opioid problem is epic. International Overdose Awareness Day is what it is, right? It's to make people aware how big a problem this is?
Right, right. Well, it's still an issue that's very stigmatized. A lot of families that know there's a problem don't want to come forward and seek the help that they need because they feel they're going to be judged. And simply put, if you have opioid use disorder, what you have is a disease. And when we have a disease, we get it treated. So we need to have that discussion all around Illinois and constantly. So today actually marks a very somber day. It's International Overdose Awareness Day, and I'm going to be attending a lot of events. And as you would believe, a lot of family members that have lost loved ones due to this epidemic. But then there are great stories of hope. And the stories of hope are those people that have been living drug-free for many years, and they're paying it forward. Like an individual I met by the name of Chris Reed, for instance, in Crystal Lake. He was delivered twice to the ER. His friends realized he was experiencing an overdose, and he was delivered the first time. He was resuscitated with Narcan that saved his life. He went back to using. Same thing occurred a few months thereafter. He had overdosed again, resuscitated again. And many individuals would have said, this is a throwaway youth. Why keep on giving him Narcan to revive him? But now he's doing wonderful things. He's opened up 2 homes to help people in recovery, and he's opening up a woman's home. He opened up a sober bar. And these are the stories of hope I'm going to be telling people today as, we pay remembrance to those we've lost to opioids.
Yeah, there's no life that's useless. There's no life that's worthless, and you should never give up on anyone until you've lost the opportunities, and that means when they're gone. I lost a cousin this year to drugs who'd been an addict his entire life, and he died at 50. And it's the type of thing that you just hope that they're going to find a way to save their own life, because that's what it comes down to. When you're an addict, at that level of severity, you have to decide that you want to live. And if you make that decision, there's a million resources to help you get there.
You got it. And that's the other area of hope I tell people about. So people generally seek hope when they hit rock bottom, when it's the end of the line. And if you don't give them the services that they need at that point in time, you could lose them, you know, and it happened to your family, Steve. So what I have to say is we now have a 1-800 number at the state. We've been able to get a lot of federal funding to be able to push our plan and implement it. And the number to find help, any stage you're at in the recovery process or so on, any question you may have, it's 1-833-2-FIND-HELP. Number 2, to find help. Again, 1-833-2-FIND-HELP. Operators trained to be able to field any question. Any questions are there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There is no silly question.
Right.
And then we also have that standing order on Narcan or naloxone. It's that great resuscitator that you, if you have seen somebody experiencing an overdose, you administer the Narcan, and it does save lives. Statistics show that communities where Narcan is introduced, we've seen lives saved to the tune of 50%. So that's significant, too. Because of our governor and because we have this plan in place, we're moving the needle every day. So with the standing order, you could become a first responder, Steve, or you, Mary, or Andy. We could get trained and we could get Narcan at Walgreens, at CVS, and have that available should we encounter anyone experiencing an overdose.
Yeah, and frankly, we all ought to learn it the same way we learned CPR, because you all ought to be ready to help when the time comes. The Kirby Rehab Center today at 1:30, the Bethany Community Church on North Walnut and Itasca tonight at 7, Lake Arlington's Pavilion at 5:30 this afternoon. Multiple places where remembrance and hope will take place today on Opioid Awareness Day. And naloxone, is it naloxone? Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, so it's interchangeable. It's naloxone, short Narcan. So that's why you're going to see it.
I was going to say there's going to be free naloxone given out. Now there's a myth that's out there that if you hand out Narcan and naloxone, that it's going to be used recreationally. It's frankly ridiculous. A therapist in this field will tell you again and again and again, if someone has access to Narcan, they're desperately addicted, and it's an effort to save their life or save the life of somebody you love who's desperately addicted. No recreational addict is picking up this drug so they can take more drugs. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, sometimes I travel to communities where they say, why don't we just revive people once or possibly twice, but that's it, you know, because they choose to take opioids or they choose to take heroin. But what they don't realize is that what these individuals have is a disease, that they need treatment, they need help. And what if that person is your brother or your spouse? Are you going to cut them off at two Narcan?
Right.
Are you going to cut them off at one? So we really need to treat this as a community together. You know, last night I was at a memorial service where a lot of police officers showed up, and you saw them tearing up as they saw the memorials of individuals that they knew. And they probably resuscitated them with Narcan on a few occasions, but they lost the battle. In this epidemic. And what you're seeing now is more of a change towards community policing, communities working together to share resources and equipment and services and knowledge so that they could all come together. Because as the saying goes, it takes a village. And this is how we're approaching this epidemic. And I could honestly say that in Illinois, we are moving the needle every day. And we're actually the front runners in a lot of things that we're doing. As you know, the governor recently signed the landmark pain management medical marijuana legislation. Mm-hmm. And we're the first ones in the country to do that. So we're thinking outside of the box, because this epidemic knows no neighborhood. It knows no color. It knows no class. It's an equal opportunity destroyer, and we got to beat it.
Lieutenant Governor, you might not have an exact stat on this, but of the survivor stories that you've met, how many of them had multiple uses, you know, where they had to be revived more than one time?
It's
going
to be a good number to know.
Right. And it's tough to have that statistic right now, because a lot of people are carrying Narcan, such as myself, and they're not reporting it. So what the reports that we're receiving back is from the ER, for instance. It's easy to track those numbers, and people are being revived significantly to that effect. With the federal monies that we've been getting, we're trying to track all of these numbers where people are getting resuscitated. But in the instance of Chris Reed, for instance, the gentleman from Crystal Lake that's been able to turn his life around and do a lot of things to help out with this epidemic, they had to revive him twice. And really, with the synthetic that's out there right now, fentanyl, a lot of individuals, when Narcan is administered once, it's still not good enough. And it needs to be readministered twice and sometimes three times because of the poisonous nature of the synthetic. So very dangerous, and it's hard to track at this time because, again, people are administering Narcan themselves.
Basic humanity, basic decency. Hope that others will be there when you're not to help people who are desperate for help. And again, it is a disease. And at the level of Narcan and naloxone use, they need our help desperately. Lieutenant Governor, thank you, and good luck today.
Yeah, and have me back, because I want to talk taxes, and I want to talk...
You're welcome anytime. You know that.
Yeah,
yeah. And so is the governor. All right, thank
you. Absolutely. You guys, thank you.
Take care. I love my dog. He's my dog. If you don't love my dog, that's okay. I don't want you to. He's my dog. Most valuable person on the planet for Friday, August 31st, September 1st tomorrow, is Heather Owen. Heather Owen joins us now on the phone line. Is that? I got so much sun in the studio, I can't even see the telephone. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
Heather is co-founder and executive director for One Tail. What is One Tail?
It's one tail at a time, and we are an animal rescue. Yes.
One tail at a time. You're a dog rescue or animals in general?
We do dogs and we do kittens, and then we do a lot of community outreach, like free vaccine clinics, spay, neuter, that kind of fun stuff.
If you love your dog and you want to hang out on a Friday night with your dog and you want to take your dog somewhere, yeah, your options usually are limited. But thanks to Heather and some friends, not so much. What did you just start?
So Emporium has this great thing. It's their pop-up bar, and every month they turn the bar into something completely different. So they decided, with our help, to turn it into a dog-friendly, like, play place and bar that's going to be open for the next 2 weeks, so you can come get a drink and bring your dog, and your dog can run around and have a great time.
Now, the dogs don't drink, do they?
Yeah, I mean, they could have some water.
Yeah, okay. Because you don't want to see, Andy, you don't want to see a schnauzer sideways, you know what I mean?
And I see that there's going to be celebrity appearances from famous Chicago dogs, giveaways, and fun.
Yes. So we have Truman the Giant, who's one of the biggest St. Bernards I've ever seen, coming tonight to greet everyone. And we have some other fun stuff sprinkled throughout the next few weeks.
Truman the giant St. Bernard, what's his contract rider like? Is there a lot of kibble in it and that type of thing?
His treats are very large, so we have to get creative.
Yeah, sure. Splinter the Ninja Dog is also on the schedule. I don't know Splinter the Ninja Dog. Is it a dog that thinks it's a ninja?
I'm not sure. I don't know if he's got some cool moves. I guess we'll see him in the play place.
Some cool moves.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Because it's an off-the-leash party, right? The dogs get to roam free.
Part of the bar is like fenced in, and we have some AstroTurf and some really fun things like a ball pit, a stuffed squirrel that's the size of a human. So it's going to get kind of silly in there.
I went to see my mom yesterday, and she has a new dog, Opie, relatively new, 6 months or so they've had the dog. Opie had a chicken, a stuffed chicken. Oh. Yesterday it looked like a crime had been committed. I couldn't tell it was a chicken anymore. But Opie was happy. That's the main thing. Texter says, please tell Heather at One Tail at a Time that we, in caps, love her for the annual advocacy. But I don't know what this means. We miss her rude dog. What's rude dog? Is that a band
Rudy
you were in?
That was my personal dog who passed away earlier this year. I adopted him 10 years ago. He was a little bit of a troublemaker. So.
Oh, rude dog.
Yeah.
One little nugget about Heather. She was an attorney, a practicing attorney, but she left that to do this full time because it's her passion.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. The
world's got plenty of attorneys. We need more people like you.
Exactly.
All right, so opening night is tonight. No ticket necessary. And after opening night tonight, the bar will be open to anyone 21 and older and their dog. You know, keep an eye on your dog. That's the only thing I worry about, Heather, is, you know, Andy goes in, he's throwing back a few too many, and suddenly the dog's on his
dog?
Own.
So. Yeah, you'll have to keep an eye on them, and you know, we'll have some people around making sure everyone plays nicely.
That they only leave with their dog.
Yes.
You know, you can't be nagging another dog. Yeah. And then there's like a whole series of events. Sunday, September 2nd from 3 to 5, a Dog's Day party. Tuesday, September 4th and September 11th, private VIP showings. Lucky dogs can get their run of the place, 20-minute increments with no other dogs around.
So where do we get information on all this? What website are you going to send us to?
Our website is onetail.org, and you can see adoptable dogs and find out info on the space.
Heather, you're the most valuable person on the planet. That's a lot of pressure.
I know. I'm very honored. Thank you.
All right. You have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
There you go. And Labor Day weekend festivities continue. Tuesday is the 5-year anniversary of this show since I came back after I was fired and I left. If there's something you'd like to hear from the last 5 years, I would like nothing better than to tell Sandberg she has to go somehow find it from the last 5 years of archives. Kevin Powell and Kevin and Ross produced this show, had a very interesting filing system. I believe it was the GFL system. Mm-hmm. Good effing luck finding it. Yes.
Kevin was one of those people that saved every single audio file to a desktop screen. And so it was a...
Yeah, your desktop looked like it had measles.
It was just, audio file on top of, when there's so many, they just layer on top.
But he knew where it was.
And nothing's
couldn't
labeled
tell you now,
with
but he
anything,
knew where it was.
But yeah.
So anyway, if there's a bit or a conversation or an interview or something you heard us do in the last 5 years, 312-981-7200. Of course, we continue with the text question of the day. At what age is a dude most attractive? Right? And nobody has said 57 yet except the texter that has a thing for Pat Brady.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo!
Woo!
Ow!
Love that money!
It is 7:41. Steve Grzanich just did the news, and seconds later, we've gotten texts claiming it's fake polling. No, I'm sorry, it's not. I should have, imagine if you're over your entire life. Anytime anybody said anything to you that was counter to what you believed, you said they were lying.
It's happening a lot lately, especially for those of us in the news business.
Right.
We tell somebody something, and even in private life, oh, you're lying, it's fake news.
Unless you say something they agree with.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, kids, that's not the way life works. Elise Glink joins us now, and Elise Glink is sponsored by Grandview Homes. Good morning, Elise. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, but that may be fake.
That's true. Okay. I don't believe that you're good. I think you're just saying that you're good. I think you're just being upbeat when, in fact, you're miserable. How's that?
That may be fake also. I can't confirm.
That's true. June 2018, total U.S. consumer debt stands at how much?
$3.8 trillion. We're nearly at an all-time high again for consumer debt.
It's a lot of debt.
It is. There's just a mountain of it sitting out there that has to be repaid. But I don't know. People don't seem to want to repay their debts any more than they want to believe stuff they don't want to believe.
My Bank Tracker conducted a survey this month to see what freedoms Americans would give up if they could get out of debt. Here are some of them. The right to data privacy. In other words, your web history would be available to anyone who wanted it. Ten million Americans, right?
Yep, 4% thought that it would be better to have their identity stolen than actually pay back the debt they owe.
Forced to switch political parties, 4%?
Yeah, I thought that would be higher, but it's not. People are really stuck in the mud here about the politics.
Yeah, switching political parties, I think a lot of people go, and I have no more debt? Sure. What do you want me to
pay? Right. But no, only another 4%.
This one I thought would be higher, religious freedom. You'd have no more religious freedom, but you'd be out of debt.
Yeah, it's interesting. So apparently we still do value the ability to worship who and what and wherever we want in this country, which is a great thing, more than we do paying off our debt. So that's good. That's encouraging.
Freedom of speech. Most people say, don't you touch my freedom of speech. 6 million Americans?
Yeah, 2.5%. I thought that was sort of interesting. These are some of our most basic, cherished freedoms, and it was good that only a few people would give that right up.
And your freedom, in general, it means you're going to jail?
Right, and so this is actually a realistic thing, because while we don't have debtor's prison, per se, we kind of do in a lot of places in this country. If you can't pay certain debts, they can come after you and garnish your wages, but there are other kinds of debts that could land you in jail, for example. It's not consumer debt, but, for example, in a divorce case.
Yeah.
If you're not paying what you owe, you could end up, being remanded into custody.
Men are twice as likely as women to give up freedom of speech. Men are 4 times as likely than women to go to jail. Generation Xers, 35 to 54-year-olds, are more likely to read only fake news or switch political parties than millennials. All of those probably stereotypically make sense to people. But the bottom line is, Elise, pay your bills.
Right. So the big one, of course, is that the, you know, 5% of Americans would read only fake news rather than paying their bills. And this is, in my mind, this is just a little bit of people wanting to be just removed from reality. And I don't know how to, I don't know if this is where you go and you just live inside your video game or not, but...
But it's a new definition of reality, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about with politics. I think that's what we're talking about in some respects with this. I mean, my reality is I'm a good person. I didn't mean to be in this much debt, so I don't really have to pay you back, do I?
Right. Well, it's interesting. So this week I gave a speech to the Illinois CPA Society. They had their annual summit.
That was crazy.
The you know, it CPA sounds Society. Like it wouldn't be, and yet people were, actually the questions that we got on the panel were terrific questions. People were really smart, and but there's a disconnect between, you know, their clients. Most of them work with people who are, you know, individuals who are filing their tax returns, but also companies that are filing. And the issues that you and I talk about, Steve, week in and week out, the tax cuts, bedevil them, you know, what's going on with health insurance and costs rising, bedevil them. It's really the same sort of group. But, you know, it comes up all the time now, fake news, and is that really real? And, you know, things that when I would give a speech 10 years ago, nobody would question my statistics,
right.
Which all come from the government.
Well, that's the thing. In a world where you only believe what you believe, how do you get anywhere? I don't even understand this. I don't understand where our heads are at, financially, politically, or otherwise. If you only believe what you want to believe, you're 5 years old. At some point, you have to get older and realize there are two sides to stories.
Yes, that would be good. We should all turn six this year. That would be
so
really
bizarre.
Helpful.
So bizarre. And as you know, the Trump effect on this is significant. When the President of the United States has told 5,000 quantifiable lies in a year and a half, he gets part of the credit for this.
Well, I have to say one other thing came out this week that I thought was really interesting. Just in the same vein, the guy who oversees federal student loans as the student ombudsman threw up his hands and he quit this week because he decided that the Department of Education is basically no longer protecting students against predatory private colleges, predatory lenders, against anybody. And he threw up his hands and he quit. This is the guy whose whole job is to help students get treated fairly with their student debt, their federal student debt. And I just thought, wow, the gatekeepers have all just sort of locked the gates and left. Well, or maybe they've left and the gates are open now. I don't know what the metaphor is, but was an astonishing moment this week.
I get it, yeah. And that's the great question of folks who still work in the White House and the administration and in this weird world we're living in, is do you stay to protect the rest of us from, you know, we trace the call, they're in the house. Do you stay to protect us from the bad guys that are in charge, or do you leave because you got to look at yourself in the mirror in the morning?
Yeah.
I'd love to see his exit interview.
Yeah. I'm sick of this! Could you tell us what we could do better? Everything!
Yeah, just the last crazy thing I heard this week in my travels. So yesterday I was in Charlotte, and I happened to catch a session at this conference I was speaking at. I was talking about financial wellness, of course, but there was an FBI guy there who's one of the special agents in charge of North Carolina. And he was talking about when they were doing a car chase, I don't know if this was earlier this year or last year, of Russians going 100 miles an hour through the North Carolina countryside trying to catch them. And I thought to myself, are we in an episode of The Americans?
Yeah, exactly. Everybody thinks they're in a TV show.
I'm telling you, Homeland this year felt like it was real life.
But it's not.
I know,
but it's a TV show.
But our president and all, it was mirroring everything every episode.
Did it feel more real than the world you're living in?
It was crazy. It was like, this is, so I don't know if the present administration watches Homeland and then makes some decisions, or which one happened first.
Mostly Fox. If it's on Fox, you'll see it as well. All right. Mortgage rates staying okay, or are we going through the roof here?
No, actually, they came down a little bit this week. Again, this is confusing to everybody, but overall, they have come up about 1 percentage point from the all-time low. They're at about a little under 4.5% this week. Part of that is actually due to demand. So we're seeing the yield curve flatten, meaning that short-term rates should normally be lower than long-term rates, but we're seeing short-term rates go up. And the Fed is pushing that, right? They're expected to do at least one, maybe two more rate hikes this year. And long-term interest rates are kind of holding steady. And when you get this inverted yield curve, which we're, I'm not saying we're there yet, but we're close to it, that has almost always been a precursor to a recession. And so what's causing sort of long-term rates to kind of stay where they are is that people aren't really buying houses, getting mortgages. Those numbers have all come down this week. And so the demand for a long-term mortgage is lower, and so rates are kind of holding steady. But on the short-term side, rates are going up, and that's something that we're going to have to watch this year, because we've seen the president say, I don't want to see those rates go up from the Fed, and yet Jerome Powell is saying, yeah, we're going to have at least one and maybe two more interest rate hikes. And so we'll see where that winds up.
What are you doing for Labor Day?
So
for your big holiday weekend? Well, you run the company. It's your company. Do you give yourself Monday off?
I'm taking Monday off this weekend. My kids are all both back in town, which is nice. And my sisters are here, and we're having a big family get together, and the weather, darn it, better cooperate.
Yeah, we're going to Traverse City to to see family members. And look, I know I'm weird. I'm in show business. But we were just talking about this off the air a second ago, Elise, and I don't know if you're like me, but we're going to be staying with family, and I would rather stay in a hotel.
That is not weird. That is normal. That's best for people's sanity. I, too, do not like staying with people at all. I will not sleep. If I'm forced to stay at somebody's house, I love my sister-in-law and brother-in-law. I stay there. Pat and I did not sleep in that room. I don't sleep at my mother-in-law's house.
I think
that's TMI. I don't know what are you. I don't know what you're doing.
Oh no, not because we're having fun. Because nobody keeps their house cold enough for us. Angie and John like at like 75 degrees or something. We're sweating like crazy.
See, I can't really explain mine, other than the fact that I like to be alone. Which is idiotic, considering this job. But I like to be alone, or I like to just be in a room by my, with my stuff. And here's the thing.
I
always feel like I'm a burden on someone when I'm staying at their house. You know why? Because I'm a burden. That's why I feel that way. So I know the vast majority of people go, I'd love to stay with family. It's great. I love being around family. I love family. I love my family. I love my extended family. I don't want to stay at your house. And this weekend, for instance, the place is a great house, from what I hear. It's a fabulous house. It's great. It's nothing to do with that.
And Elise, listen to this. His wife is going, but they're driving separate cars.
Well, it's because she's going to stay longer.
I think you encourage her to stay longer so you don't have to drive.
Listen, she can do whatever she wants.
It's a long drive to Traverse City.
He doesn't like anybody in the car with him either.
That's true. I like to be alone.
Except John DeCoste.
Not only John.
You guys could have driven one way together and then flown home from Traverse City. There's like a Southwest Airlines flight that's like $150.
Oh, look at that.
What are you, made of money?
Look at Elise.
Actually, yes. But only because of the job.
Actually, no.
Hey, that's fake news, by the way. I'm not made of money. I'm flesh and blood.
Spent $150 in gas. Easily. But the fact is, I'm weird. Okay, so last question before you go. This came up earlier in the show. What age are men most attractive? And don't say my husband's age.
What age are men most attractive?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've seen some pictures of some pretty good, 30-something guys online lately when
30,
looking
35?
At Daily Mail.
At?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. It's your thing. I can't pick a four.
I'm not around 30-something guys anymore. They're either my employees are much younger, or I'm with colleagues and they're all much older. So I don't know.
But if you
most
saw
of us went with 30s.
If I saw a guy on the street,
if you saw a guy
do you
on
know
the street
how old people
said,
are anymore? Because everybody looks like they're the same age to me.
Well, we could.
I look online and people are in their 60s, like Christie Brinkley. She looks like she's 20, and they talk about her looking like 20.
She does.
Oprah's 60. She looks like she's 40. So
Jennifer Lopez is 50, and she looks like she's 26.
I'm 57.
Halle Berry
I look 65.
Looks better than I ever did in my whole life, and she's 50.
Halle Berry.
All right, but we're talking about dudes here.
Oh.
All right. So, at what age does a guy look most attractive?
Who's the guy? I'm going to just make a total fool out of myself now. The guy who played Thor, the guy from Australia.
Oh, the Hammer. Thor the Hammer.
However old
name?
He is,
Hemsworth?
That age.
Is he Hemsworth?
Yeah, Hemsworth. One of the Hemsworth boys.
Hemsworth, correct. Yeah. Right.
You know what? I'm with you, Elise.
He's like 30, right?
Yeah.
Is that Liam?
Yeah, Liam Hemsworth? Yeah. Hemsworth, right?
They're brothers, so I don't know.
One of them is living with Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. Let's see.
Miley.
He's engaged to him. They're engaged.
Yeah, they're engaged again.
I think Liam's the young one. Chris is the older one.
Liam is 28.
Who's the other one?
Chris? He was Thor. Chris was Thor.
Yeah.
He's older, though. He's like 30-something.
He's 35. Oh, he is cute.
35.
Okay. That age.
To all of you, once again, to all of you, on behalf of all of us, my eyes are up here. Thank you, Elise.
You're welcome.
Spots.
Happy Labor Day, everybody.
All right. We got one more break before the news. Again, Dean coming up here in just a little bit. Steve Stone coming up. Earl Pell, Craig Melvin from MSNBC. Orion's on today. And yesterday we had a long discussion in the office about Buttig Meats and how we all used to go to convenience stores late at night and buy packages of Buttig Meats.
I don't know that we all did that, but I did used to eat it for lunch every day as a kid. But
well, somebody bought them for you then.
Yeah, my parents did. And
you know where they got them? The convenience store late at night. That's where they saw me.
They got it at the grocery My dad does grocery shopping on Saturday mornings is when he would do it. But I would like one piece of bread, one piece.
This is the thing that amazes me. Pete and I were talking about this. This is fascinating to me that you could have one slice of that tiny package of Buttig Meats. What are you, in prison?
We called it skinny meat in our house, just so you know. So I'd like one piece. I like the oven-roasted chicken. That was like my favorite. And then another piece of bread.
Wow.
No condiments, nothing. And we always had wheat bread. So that's what I would eat.
You were in prison.
And I like to smush it flat, the sandwich.
Smush it flat. Oh, it's already flat. It's Buttig Meat.
There's nothing to it. You wrap it up in the cream cheese for your hors d'oeuvres, too.
Oh, I used to hate that hors d'oeuvre where they stick like a pickle in it with cream cheese. That's the worst.
Stick the
that's
like
a joke of an appetizer.
So when you get a shrimp, do you just get like a tiny piece of the shrimp at the bottom? Get a chip? Like you get a ruffle? Do you break the ruffle into quarters?
I like one piece of skinny meat. But speaking of sandwiches, my latest, I'm eating my way through the Pedway. Mm-hmm. In my latest video, I went to Potbelly's yesterday, so that video's up.
I would think that would be fine, because Potbelly's is about the easiest place you could eat anywhere.
It was so good. Yeah. So anyway, you can go to WGNradio.com/Steve Cochran Show.
And check that out!
On our social.
All right, coming up, Dean with the show business stuff and the dumbest lie Donald Trump's told to date, and that's quite a competition. News in a moment on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Our friend Chuck Todd Dean said he fully anticipates there to be major news out of the Mueller investigation today as leaks continue this morning. And you know how leaks continue.
You're telling me, my age.
Roger Stone is likely to be indicted by 5 o'clock today.
Shoof.
So just keep your ears open for that.
Keep an eye on the radio.
Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, remember yesterday we were talking about emails and texts that we get.
People that are so positive.
About things that you did or didn't do. But I got, I was outside grilling on TV yesterday.
Making food for everybody.
Overall, rave reviews everyone says I should have a cooking show.
I totally agree with that.
So, we're going to get into negotiations for that. But I enjoy it. I have a lot of fun doing it. But one person, I know you'll be shocked to hear that person did not include their name. I'm going to say it's a guy.
Okay.
Because women are not usually this mean.
Right.
Dean, it's not barbecuing unless it's cooked over charcoal and wood. You're grilling on a gas grill, so quit patting yourself on the back and man up. Build the fire and cook, and then maybe we'll be impressed.
Yeah, that's a dude. That's a guy. There's no question that's a guy.
That's a dude.
That's a guy. And also, that's a guy who apparently hasn't been able to get his plumbing operating effectively for weeks. That's a guy who needs more fiber.
You think?
So, yeah, you know, it's they're out there. The good news is the vast majority of people that watch and listen every day are great people.
Yep.
And by the way, we don't have to have our ask guest every day. Occasionally, it'd be nice.
Speak for yourself.
But we're just glad you listen and watch. That's all.
Is there a half hour time slot over there at TV on a Saturday or Sunday morning?
Dean's cooking.
Yeah, because I know you do the radio show.
Dean's
but
hot.
That's when.
That's it. It's called Hot Dean.
When we wake up on the weekends and there's no kid activities, Pat likes to turn on the TV, and that's when we watch cooking stuff, because that's when we start making plans for what we're going to eat for the day.
What you're going to cook later, right?
Yeah. So, like, that'd be a good time. Is that available over there
we'll
at TV,
Dean?
We'll
have to speak to our very handsome and knowledgeable general manager, Paul Rennie, about that.
Yeah. I think Steve's going over the day. Maybe he can pitch your cooking show.
Yeah. Drop in a few mentions, Steve.
Yeah. I got a meeting. Got a meeting with the big guy today.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. No, it's not that kind of meeting. Okay. Wait, well, how would I know if it was that kind of meeting?
With your history.
Yeah,
Pat,
it's true.
Pat will flip one on, and then somebody will be making, like, a, I don't know, some kind of elaborate pounded chicken dish, and then he'll say, do we have any chicken in the house? Like no, we're not. Wait. I don't just stock food for whatever TV show is going to.
Why? Why can't you?
Inspire him to maybe make something.
Why can't
you
call the networks ahead of time, find out what they're making on the shows, and then have it in the house? Why? Why is that too much to ask?
Yeah.
Now, see, I always keep some chicken breasts in my freezer. You know, they come like
60 to a package.
Well,
the individual wrapped ones.
You can't get the vacuum packed ones, so they hold up really well in the freezer, and they defrost quickly, you know, if you need to throw a meal together, but. You know, something like that. But this dude, quit patting yourself on the back.
Yeah.
No salmon croquettes for you, my friend.
That's exactly right.
The next barbecue I do.
You're going to regret ever bringing that up.
But I am going to cook on a bonfire over the weekend just to prove this guy wrong.
I would like in the next segment for you to rub sticks together and not start the cooking segment until a fire breaks out.
Okay, that could take a while.
Well,
show's
I'm just
over
saying.
At 10. I don't know.
That's what a real man would do. That's all. Speaking of hot, earlier in the program, survey from, I don't even remember where at this point, but the survey was, what age is a man most attractive? The answer was 50. At what age, which means you and I are nearly dead. At what age is a woman most attractive? The answer was 18.
I disagree with that.
Yeah, so do I.
What do you think is the, I would put a woman's age. Boy, it's even hard to pick one age, but...
The age a woman is most attractive depends on the woman
not,
you're talking to.
It's not 18.
No, of course not. No, it's ridiculous.
That Clarasil gets in the way.
And as far as a man's attractiveness goes, you know...
Never. The answer is never.
Never. No, 50, 50's fine if you're Clooney, I suppose. But let's be realistic. Younger dudes are better looking. That's fine. I can live with that.
Maybe, but isn't there a comfort level, though, like when you're a little bit older?
But that's
you're more comfortable with yourself. You're
yeah, but if the
hard.
Survey wasn't at what age does a dude look most comfortable.
Comfortable, yeah.
But I think that you look good because
you're comfortable.
You feel more comfortable.
I think that's why people like what I do when I wear shorts to work every day.
I think it should be said again that the publication in which these numbers came out of is something called Fatherly.
Which, is that what it was? Yeah, fatherly.
Which sounds like a male skewed, hey, we're going to tell our audience that you're hot at 50 and that, you know, girls need to be 18. Right. Like, it sounds a little skewed.
A lot
skewed.
Of Viagra ads in this magazine.
It's like the healthy prostate survey that came out a few years ago that said a man has to have sex 25 times a month, and that's the only way a man can avoid prostate cancer.
Is that the name of a magazine, Healthy Prostate?
No, but it is one of the websites we should all look at regularly.
Because I was thinking of my cooking show. I was going to make that the name of my cooking show.
All right, now here's the other thing I brought up. We're going out of town this weekend, and we're staying at a relative's house, friend's house. Well, relative. He's a friend. He's a friendly relative. And I like staying in hotels. I just don't like staying with family members. But I'm thinking, Dean, you like staying with family.
I don't see Dean staying with...
I am a fan of... I think you need your own space.
Well, so you're with me, then.
Yeah.
I don't... Steve, I think more people want their own space than... I think you're normal.
Maybe I should change this to the text question is, am I crazy?
Yeah, you're not crazy. Oh. Who are the people out there that want to stay with their family? Nobody.
Some people.
No, some people do.
Some people, I suppose. But, you know, just you get in each other's way.
Yeah,
you can't
be
apart for 6 or 8 hours.
Yeah, and the temperature difference, that is an issue.
This is really a hang-up for you, that whole temperature thing.
I know, because everyone keeps their houses so hot at night, and I need 63 to 66 for sleeping, if any sleep's going to
metric.
Yeah.
I need some walking around in my underwear space.
Yeah, you just don't need to be in.
And the people at the breakfast buffet seem to object when I'm at a hotel with that. But
see, that's okay with me because I do it at work. That's why I have my own chair in the HR office. Texter points out that you weren't prepared for something, and they're stunned, Sandberg. Sandberg wasn't prepared by having all the meats that Pat wants in the house.
Oh, yeah. I don't stock a lot of meat because the frozen stuff, you still need time to... I buy it all fresh.
Listen, if you're producing your refrigerator better, Pat would be happier. Yeah. That's what we're saying.
I don't like a stocked refrigerator and freezer, to be honest. I like to be empty and look more like a MTV Cribs type refrigerator where things are just lined up nicely, but there's not really much in it.
How much time do you spend looking in the refrigerator?
Oh, my gosh. I had to let go of, you know, my husband does not put the condiments in back the way I like them, but I had to let go of
what
that.
What do you mean, the way you like them? In certain places in the refrigerator?
I do. I do. There's certain things I want in the
door. Lucky.
Certain things I want in the door, certain things I want on shelves. Like, relish does not end up in the door, yet it keeps ending up in the door.
I put mine in the drawer.
You do?
I'm a relish in the door guy.
That's why sometimes...
I like it by the dill pickles. I like all the pickle products together. So, but he doesn't... He just puts everything on the top because he's tall.
What happens if the pickle products aren't together?
Oh, man.
I can't believe you guys think about this that much.
Because, yeah. Mary, then he'll say, are we out of relish? Well, if you put it next to the pickles every time, we'd be like, let's look in the pickle section. Oh, we have relish. But now I have to dig around and see where he hid it behind.
If you're watching NBC Sportsnet and you see Pat blinking out, help him, a hostage, you'll know you have to make a run,
Mary's,
and pick him up.
Only refrigerator that uses the Dewey Decimal System.
I was going to say, is there a grid available?
I was like, doesn't it make sense, this? And he doesn't see it. So I've let go of it, but obviously I haven't, because now I'm getting all sweaty thinking about it.
I think you're looking at it completely wrong. I'm thinking, how much does this man love me to put up with the relish discussion?
Yeah.
Aretha, with all the wardrobe changes, man, she's going out in style.
She actually did. There were actual wardrobe changes during the funeral, during the wake.
Yep.
Where each day she would have a different outfit on. I've never seen that before.
Neither have I. Neither have I.
Yesterday they had a tribute concert last night in Detroit. Four Tops performing, Johnny Gill. Gladys Knight was there but didn't perform. Ron Isley and Patti LaBelle brings the house down. Singing her song, You Are My Friend.
Wow.
I haven't actually watched the tape of it yet, but just knowing how she does that song and what that must have been like at a memorial service, I'm sure was amazing. So today is going to be the funeral.
By the way, the funeral cars are all lined up now?
Yeah, pink Cadillacs.
Oh, they're all pink Cadillacs. Yeah. I couldn't tell. So somebody in Detroit got the pink Cadillac concession, and they're all pink Cadillacs.
Well, you remember her song,
Oh, yeah, of course.
Freeway of Love.
I played it. Disc jockey.
Yeah, and so there's going to be something like, I heard 200 pink Cadillacs as part of the funeral procession today. The funeral service itself today is expected to last 6 hours. 6 hours.
What?
Will have eulogizing her today, former President Bill Clinton, Reverend Jesse Jackson Jr., Smokey Robinson, and Cicely Tyson. There will be more performances today.
Wait. 6 hours.
Do you think Bill busts out that sax during his eulogy?
I hope not.
Well, at what point during the 6 hours is it okay to get up and pee? I mean, you know, that's a long service.
I don't know if you can, you know, if there's intermissions.
You know,
and we'll be back with more of the goodbye to Aretha.
I've never heard of costume changes before either. I don't know what's going to happen. But there's quite a lineup of performers as well. Stevie Wonder, Faith Hill, Jennifer Hudson, Ariana Grande, Fantasia, gospel star Shirley Caesar, Chaka Khan. When you say your name, you have to say it three times. It's like Beetlejuice. Ron Isley will perform again today. Yolanda Adams.
6 hours.
That's what I'm told.
6 hours. That's not a funeral. That's a rock festival.
Yeah. Former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder will speak. Music mogul Clive Davis will speak. the Reverend Al Sharpton, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder.
How's that going to be the last person in line to speak when the audience is going, all right, already?
Bishop T.D. Jakes.
Sure.
Steve's still in the men's room at three, at some point. Gospel choirs, several different gospel choirs. So, I mean, it's going to be
the most amazing thing if you could get a shot of the crowd. I would love to see a streaming shot of the crowd. How many people are going to be able to not talk on their phone, answer their phone, and talk on their phone for 6 hours?
Ooh.
While they're sitting there.
It's occurring to me that maybe, I mean, it's still 6 hours, a long time, but maybe that's going to be from the beginning until they're finished at the cemetery. Maybe that also includes the...
It's a long time.
The procession and the Cadillacs.
It's a long time.
It is streaming online, by the way, if anyone wants to watch it. There are several sites, mostly like Detroit cable stations.
Right.
Things that are streaming.
Paul McCartney, tour dates?
They just announced some new tour dates for 2019.
Coming to town?
Not to Chicago, right now. I'd be shocked if Chicago didn't get included in it. But right now, the only date that has been announced for this is a date in Moline that will be in June of
What's he playing,
next
arenas?
Year. Yeah, playing at Tax Slayer Center in Moline.
How about that? How old is Paul McCartney? 75?
Yep.
75 years old. Pretty impressive.
He's rocking, man.
Yeah. And The Rock is in the news.
He is just gotten a role, what he is calling the dream role of a lifetime. Think of all the roles that he's had and all the things that he's gotten in the past. He is going to be playing Hawaiian King Kamehameha.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I mostly just want to say Kamehameha.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually very, you know, it's like unbelievably famous in the Hawaiian Islands for sure. The first ruler to unite the warring Hawaiian Islands,
mm-hmm.
King Kamehameha has been The Rock's dream role since he started in Hollywood, Kamehameha.
So Gilbert Gottfried did not get it.
Did not get the role.
Justin will be thrilled. You know how he's obsessed with The Rock, so
yeah.
He'll be very excited about
this.
Well, he's
quite an acting talent.
Also, Paul McCartney turned 76 in June, just
wow.
So you guys know.
How about that?
He's even older than you thought.
Brand New Smile brings you more on entertainment. Movie we have to see this weekend. Give me one.
I would check out Searching with John Cho. Story of a single father, his daughter, a teenage daughter goes missing. And the search goes on. It sounds like the premise of like the last 12 Liam Neeson movies, but mm-hmm. this one is done with a completely different take where the search takes place online through chat rooms and FaceTime. Hmm. And it's a very interesting, complete digital take, and it really works. Really good twists and turns in this movie. Deborah Messing co-stars. That's the one that you want to see this reason. That said, Crazy Rich Asians is probably going to be number one for the third.
What'd you give Operation Finale?
Operation Finale C+.
Oh, you're kidding. What happened?
Interesting story, but it's kind of flat.
Wow.
It's for a subject which is so emotional, the capturing of Nazi war criminal Adolf Eichmann. The movie, I thought, just laid kind of flat. I was expecting much more. I was expecting, you know, maybe Steven Spielberg has set the bar so high with things like Schindler's List and so forth that really, you know, make you cry. This one doesn't. It's an interesting movie. It's good. C+ is good, but it was not a great movie.
You're on Sunday?
With my interview, full interview with the jazz legend, Ramsey Lewis.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Happy holiday weekend, and news next.
I believe I am psychic.
The Heat tonight, and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
A breaking in the air, deep left, just in time. My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic.
Psychic.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Red Sox, White Sox this weekend started last night with a game that we can forget. Steve Stone on baseball, sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. Where are you eating today, Steve Stone?
I'm going to find my way to Summer House this afternoon on Halsted. Very nice. You can maybe stop over at Stella Barra while you're there. It's a pretty good deal, so I think you'd enjoy that. That'd make for a good lunch.
Have you ever eaten at home?
No.
Okay, just
absolutely
checking.
Not.
Just checking. Yeah, there you go.
No, I have the only place without a kitchen. It's really nice.
you've played for good teams, or you played for good teams and bad teams in your day. When you're playing with a team that's in a season-long struggle and you're playing against the best team in baseball, is that a different feel?
It really is. In fact, it helps make, in this case, it helps make your week. I mean, our boys saw the Yankees play very well in New York, and last night everything was going swimmingly. And, you know, there's nothing that tears the heart out of a ball club more than a bullpen not getting it done. And the bullpen lately has been pretty decent, but they ran into a situation where Ricky wanted to stay away from Jace Fry because he had had a whole lot of work. And so you find yourself a little bit short. I think the Sox are short from the right side normally in that pen at this point. And so last night was just a tough one because Lucas Giolito was brilliant. He faced a wonderful ball club, threw it as well as he could possibly throw it, had that game well in hand, and then saw it slip away with the bullpen having some problems.
Stoney, not to get real technical, but with Giolito, the way he's bounced back from some beginning of the year struggles, is it as simple mm-hmm. as being able to trust one of his breaking pitches to get over for a strike?
Well, there's a couple of different things, Andy. One of the things is that the first, I don't know, maybe four or five starts this year were in really bad weather for Lucas. He came out of spring training throwing it real well and then just couldn't get a feel for anything, not his changeup, not his breaking ball. And so he was left with just being a one-pitch pitcher, a fastball, and he couldn't locate that. It was really a very difficult early part of the year, especially with walks and everything else that went with it. But I think Lucas, the last, well, let's call it 10, 12 starts, he's shown you exactly that the last seven starts of last year was no fluke, that this guy has got very good stuff. Now he's got his composure. He's throwing everything over the plate. He's changing speeds. He's doing what a good pitcher can do. And with it, the velocity has come up to 2.5 miles an hour. And so now at anywhere from 93 to 95, he's able to get your attention with the fastball, then wipe you out with either that straight change, which has been magnificent, or, you know, occasionally getting the curveball over the plate or the slider. But the straight change has become his second best pitch, and he's just been outstanding. I mean, he gives all the Sox fans a sense of knowing what the rotation is going to look like. Lopez has thrown better. Rodon has been outstanding. Kopech is going to pitch tonight. I mean, you're talking about that in itself is just 80% of what a rotation could be. You factor in Dylan Cease and a few other guys that are throwing very well down there. Now, Cease is a while away. He's a very young pitcher. But I think we're seeing what the rotation can look like.
The how good are the Red Sox, by the way? If the Sox were in the East, they'd be 39.5 out and mathematically eliminated last week.
Yeah, look around for that team. There's no soft spots. I mean, you'd like to say, well, it can't do this or can't do that. I don't think offensively, especially, there's much of anything that team can't do. And then you factor in the back end of the bullpen, which is outstanding, starting rotation, assuming that Chris Sale is healthy, which is, the equal of most, better than just about everybody. And, you know, this is one of those teams that they're having an enchanted year. You can see why.
And the White Sox will get there. I mean, all the pieces are there, including Michael Kopech. You know, Steve Stone, there's always a talk when a phenom pitcher comes up that once you see him, and a hitter, the same deal, but once they get through the league once, the other teams get their number, and the second lap's a little tough. So Michael Kopech needs to make it work now. Do you buy that theory?
Well, I think he's gonna get their attention, and I don't believe that when you have the kind of stuff he has, which is for the most part, if he gets secondary stuff over, he's just unhittable. He's gotten better at doing that. But I don't think it's going to matter very much how many times you see him. I think that fastball, he can throw it by you. The secondary pitches, you can't hit. So to me, it's just a question of getting innings under his belt, getting situations in the major leagues so that he gets familiar with them so he's not in awe of anything there. And, you know, you have a guy with a stated mission that he wants to be as good as anybody around and better than everybody that he can be better than, and it appears he's got the stuff to do that. So I don't think the hitters are going to get that used to him. I think he's going to have to adjust as he sees them more and more, but I think his stuff is good enough for him to be a big winner.
All right, since pitching and defense win championships, talk pitching, let's talk a little defense, because it seems as though Tim Anderson has come 180 from where he was at the beginning of the year as far as the defense is concerned. I know he's hitting as well, but just a little hard work or just getting more used to playing shortstop every day?
I think it's a testament to what hard work can do for you if you have the skills. And Tim has all the talent you need. I think we've seen him turn around some baseball games just with his speed. And the glove has gotten better and better. And Joe McEwing is the man that probably deserves a whole lot of credit for getting Tim out there every day, for giving him some tips on how to get footwork together, how he should be able to make throws from different angles, working consistently with this day in and day out. And Tim's just a product of hard work. Yeah, it takes some getting used to in the major leagues, the speed of the baseball and the speed of the base runners, but there's no substitute for hard work. And Joe McEwing and Tim Anderson have gone out there and really attacked the defensive aspect of his game, and he has gotten better and better at it. So I think, you know, when we talk about these young players, all they need is either the reps in the field, the at-bats, for pitchers, the innings, the situations. I think you're starting to see a little bit of that. You're starting to see the product of some hard work and some just continued reps for these guys. And so, you know, we talk about the light at the end of the tunnel. I think we're starting to see a whole lot of that, and Tim Anderson is a great example of it.
You know, starting back in the spring, we were talking about the upside of this team and how good they can be, and it's going to be a long season. Are you seeing the growth you hoped you'd see at the stages you'd hope to see it at?
Yeah, I knew it would be a very tough year. I mean, this is one of those years where in year two of the rebuild, it's just impossible to have this team put together because you're going to be suffering in certain areas. We've seen it at times. We've seen the bullpen be pretty decent, and then we've seen it go through prolonged periods where it wasn't very good. Early, we saw the defense, which was very, very sketchy. I mean, you know, played some games where the game was literally given away defensively. Now we're seeing the defense get a bit better. And, you know, we'll see some other changes, too. I don't necessarily believe the guys that are in the spots they're in right now will be in those same spots next year. I think there'll be some changes made. I think there'll be some guys asked to do something different. Necessarily, I'm not sure that that Yoan Moncada will stay at second base. I think there probably could be a change. I think maybe they'll let him get some reps at third so he can do over there. I think he's shown the arm is good enough to maybe make that transition. Don't know exactly what it's going to be or when it's going to be, but that seems to be one of the things that the Sox would entertain. And I think we're seeing the growth of Adam Engel. I mean, we knew he could field. We weren't so sure he could field as well as he has fielded, but we knew he was pretty good there. But now swinging the bat, I think we are seeing the growth. So I think we're seeing it all around, Andy, and I think we're seeing it on a daily basis.
When you talk about a team's makeup and chemistry, and I think it kind of goes unnoticed sometimes what a job Yolmer Sanchez does, not only on the field where he's filled in numbers of different spots this year, but in that clubhouse, keeping things light. Championship teams need that kind of guy, don't they?
Well, they have that kind of guy. They have a couple of guys that are Yolmer-esque, but nobody quite the extent of what Yolmer does on a daily basis. And you're right. You know, if you've got a guy that, number one, is a terrific teammate, and Yolmer is, you get another guy who is creative as he is and just plain funny. You get a guy that can take some of the pressure away from what will be a pressure-packed season when this team gets good enough. I view Yolmer as very important to this team, but I view him even more important moving forward. And I think Yolmer probably is realistic enough to know that when this team gets really good, Yolmer is not going to be playing every day. Yolmer is not one of those guys that you would say, okay, this is going to be your starting and then fill in the blank. He's going to be there every day. I think he's much more valuable to this team filling holes on a daily basis, and I think that probably is his lot. He's a good, solid player, but is the guy playing a corner in the major leagues? I mean, he's got to have some more power than Yolmer has. He's not going to play third base every day. Yolmer knows that. But he's a guy that can give you a good effort regardless of where you put him. And I'm pretty sure he could probably play the outfield if you need him to play there. So, you know, being a switch hitter and being a guy that is truly loved on this team, Yolmer is very valuable and will become more so when this team gets good.
We're running out of games at Guaranteed Rate Field. Kids, get out and see the Sox and the Red Sox this weekend. You're going to see the best team in baseball, and you're going to see a team that's going to be the best team in baseball sooner than later, and that's your Chicago White Sox. All right, last question. If Ted Williams and Babe Ruth are the two greatest ever have Red Sox uniforms on, who's third?
Boy, that's a tough one for me, not knowing all of Red Sox history, but I can say that Jim Rice would be up there with some of his numbers.
It's funny, I was going to say that, Rice. I was going to say Rice.
Might not be one of the all-time greats, but, I mean, when you look at his numbers and what he did all the way around, you'd have to say that at least he's in the conversation.
Jimmy Fox, Fred Lynn.
Carlton Fisk.
Oh yeah, there's been some greats there. Obviously, Bobby Doerr. you know, some wonderful players in the history of the Red Sox. I think the top two probably stand out, and then you know you can take your choice depending on how deep your knowledge of Red Sox history goes.
If you're locked in an elevator with David Ortiz and Pedro Martinez, and you can only hit one of them, who do you hit?
Who do you hit one? Let's see. Well, try to hit Pedro before he hits you, and as far as the big man, David, I don't think you can outrun him in an elevator, so you might have your hands full.
Yeah, so you just wait for the bing, and then you run. Have a great weekend, Steve. Thank you. And sponsored by our friends at Let Us Entertain You Restaurants, recommended by Steve Stone. Where again today?
Today is Summer House.
Summer House.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Got it. Thanks. Mm-hmm. All right, bud. Thanks. $3.99 for all you can eat while I'ma stuff my face to a funkin' beat. We're gonna walk inside and guess what's up? Put the food on my plate, add some coke in my cup. Give me some chicken, flakes, and fries. So amongst the idiosyncrasies of Sandberg, the fact that she told us this morning that she only has one slice of budding meat. So you make the whole package last for how long?
I don't. Well, we'd have to ask our expert how many pieces come in the... come in a package, but if it's 10, that's 10 sandwiches for me.
Carl Budig is here. Happy anniversary to you. How many years?
75 years.
75th anniversary.
Yes, yes. Founded in the south side of Chicago.
By Grandpa?
By Grandpa. By Grandpa.
And how old are you when you first worked for the company?
Real work?
No. When Dad said you're going to work today.
Oh, yeah, I was probably 16.
Oh, well, that's not bad. 16. I thought you were going to tell me 10.
Yeah, well... I would go and take inventory on Saturdays and count the pencils in the desk when I was 8 or 9, you know, so.
Well, you're giving away a bunch of stuff. We'll get to that in a second. But in the standard convenience store package, the smaller package.
Yes.
How many slices?
10.
10 slices?
Yeah.
Okay. In the
look at that. I guessed correctly.
Yeah.
Kudos to
right,
me.
You've won 10 sandwiches, Sandberg sized. The Jewel or the grocery store size package, a family pack. We're talking about how much there. Is that a pound?
Yeah, we have a one-pound package. We have an 8-ounce package out there. We have our new Good For You premium product that's out there as
What's
well.
What's Good For You?
Well, you know, there's a little less fat in there.
Oh, and, come on. That's not what I count on you guys for. I count on you guys for that. But they still taste as good?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Andy, 75 years... of a family business without mm-hmm. tearing each other limb from limb, I think is pretty impressive.
There's five of us, siblings.
And you get along.
And we all get along. And we actually have a family meeting next week, and all of our children are going to be in attendance, and the grandchildren will be there, and then we're going to take over the Brookfield Zoo a week from Sunday with all of our employees to say thank you to the families that help support us.
And you just put 4,000 jobs into a community. Or 400 jobs.
Yeah, 400 jobs out in Montgomery, Illinois.
That's great.
We bought the what used to be a butterball plant, and we've got it up and running and did over £1 million there this week.
This week?
This week.
Wow.
£1 million.
This week. Steve Grzanich, you hungry?
Boy, this is making me hungry.
Yeah.
Hungry.
So, and along with Buttig, we market under the Kingsford name for ribs and,
sure.
And entrees, and the old Wisconsin name for summer sausage and meat snacks.
So what is the most popular Buttig flavor?
I love Turkey. The name. Oh, wait, meat snacks. That's a great. I think,
meat snacks.
Were you in a band?
I was in a band called Meat Snacks.
those two words flow together so beautifully.
They do. Meat snacks.
Meat snacks. What's one that you tried over the years and it just didn't go?
Pizza loaf.
Pizza loaf.
Yeah, that didn't make it.
So it's meat that has a taste of what
taste
kind
of pizza?
Pizza.
Yeah,
it had like some tomato sauce. In it.
Well, I had an oregano in it, and it had a pizza-like flavor to it.
Like sounds olive loaf, but yeah. Or pimento loaf, but pizza loaf.
There's nothing like olive loaf. I think it's a genius move, and I think the public missed that.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Tell me about the anniversary. What are you doing?
So we're asking people to submit a video of their favorite Buttig meal.
Okay.
And it's a salute to meal makers. So all those people that showed you how to cook or made meals for you.
Grandpa, grandma, mom, dad, whoever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we're asking you to submit these videos. We've got some pretty good ones out there right now. There's some pretty creative people out there that have had great experiences with our products. So we've got a number of entries, and you go to thankyou.buttig.com.
And grand prize winner, $25,000?
$25,000 to the winner, $75,000 in total prizes across the board.
Well, what a great way to salute whoever would touch out and make a good sandwich.
I'm trying to picture my dad and I standing there, me laying out the piece of bread, then one slice of meat, then the other piece of bread.
Short video.
And then putting it in one of those. My parents would not buy
it. Did you not know that you could have more than one slice?
Oh, I did. I didn't. My dad would eat the whole package like you were talking about.
Yeah,
and I didn't. I don't like thick meat. I just like it thin. And but we had to then shove it into one of those sandwich bags that didn't have the zipper lock. My parents bought the cheaper ones with the fold-over thing, so it was like harder to deal with. That would be our video.
That's what clothespins are for. Yeah.
Okay, so here's my favorite.
And we're asking the employees to submit their favorite time while they have worked for us and so forth.
No, that's cool.
And the average tenure in our plant is 13 years.
That's pretty impressive.
That Steve Grzanich, you were going
to
say your favorite.
That means people like to work for you, and that's a good sign. Yeah. Steve, what were you saying?
No, I was just going to say one of my favorite ways to make is I love the smoked ham, and sometimes I'll actually put it in a little tiny skillet, warm it up a little bit so that it's just perfectly warm, put the two pieces of bread, a little bit of Swiss cheese in there on both sides.
Gourmet.
That's good.
Very creative.
Right?
There you go. He built me up.
That's good. I don't know if you know this number, but it always amazes me when I talk about a company your size. How many turkeys do you process in a year, and do you count it that way? Or maybe how many pounds of turkey?
Pounds of turkey.
I mean, you said you did 1,000,000 pounds last week of the full run of products?
Well, that was just in the Montgomery facility.
It's unbelievable.
You said you have 10 facilities, right?
Right.
Total?
So 10 different.
All right. So in the course of a week, are you doing 10 million pounds of stuff?
We're doing about 3.5 to 4 million pounds a week.
Just unbelievable. That is a lot of meat, my friend.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Steve, we call that Christmas for you, don't we?
Yeah, that's sick. Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
I'll have to do a meat snack, a deep dive on the opening bell business of meat snacks.
Exactly, a full run of meat snacks. Well, congratulations on the success. I have one last question for you before I let you go. Well, two, actually. The website for people to enter the contest.
Thank you. Buttig.com.
Thank you. Buttig.com. And the super cute kid who falls down skating in the Blackhawks commercial.
Great commercial.
I'm going to assume this is the most popular commercial you ever had.
Yes, it is. And especially in Chicago. Yes.
And the kid is just a kid at hockey practice, right?
He came to be part of the filming of a different commercial, actually.
Okay.
And it was just spontaneous that our cameraman happened to pick that up, and we were able to put it to music, and it came across really well.
How old is that little guy? Three, four?
I think he was about four, yeah.
And the person that rushes in to pick him up to make sure he's okay, is that parents? Or
that was his father. That was his father.
It's just so great. It's awesome. Natural. It's just great.
Yeah. It was a great, great spot, and we've gotten a lot of great comments, and very proud of that sponsorship with the Blackhawks.
Well, you should. Texter says, shot on a shingle, and I think we know that that's not exactly how that's spelled.
Yep, that's
is the best
it.
Recipe using Buttig corned beef. Listen, you'll take it any way you can,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right, no offense taken at all.
Also, the 630 likes the cream cheese pinwheels. We talked about this already. Mary, you were making the cream cheese wrap something.
Wrapping them up, yes, with the toothpick. But yeah, we made the party cheese spread, too.
I'm cheese looking up all Buttig these meats. I mean, come on. Well, if you're on an island, that's all you need.
There are so many dips to make.
I know.
I'm back at it. I'm going back to the Buttig meats, man.
I'd love to see Mary win this contest.
I know. Let's do a video, Mary.
All right.
Mary has 47 siblings. She's like an honorary Osmond.
Yeah.
Great to see you. My best to the family and happy anniversary.
Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate that. All right, I have a dilemma here before we get to Craig. Hey, guys, I'm an officer of the 773 texter.
Hey, guys, I'm an officer of the court. I've got a process to serve to Tribune Broadcasting. Where are they located now? 303 East Wacker. Should we send them to Eric at the Mix?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're in the Prudential Building. The Mix,
so. I'll let you handle that one, Sandberg. And if somebody's suing me, call me later.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be on the way to Michigan.
Does that have one of our names on it or no?
I don't know. It seems to be a little bit vague. I think there's a better chance that you'll be visiting me in jail than you'll be the one in jail. Craig Melvin joins me. I'm a big fan of Craig's, as he knows, and he's a friend of the program, and he just got off the Today Show. You work too hard.
You know what? I was just listening. I hope they're not going to jail. I'm mildly concerned now.
Well, think about it. If you got a text this morning that said a process server couldn't find 30 Rock, wouldn't you think about sending them over to Stephanopoulos? I mean, you'd think about it. Come on.
Actually, you're right.
Yeah. I would. That Melvin said he's only mildly concerned, so he's not fully concerned about you.
But mildly's good. Yeah, I'll take mildly.
Well,
I'll take
it. We're still able to talk to him, so clearly he's not in coughs or, it doesn't rise to the level of serious concern.
My second phone call would be to you, just so you know.
I'd take it. I would answer the phone.
Yeah. Hour-long Dateline tonight at 9 o'clock Chicago time, 10 o'clock East and West, wherever you're listening around the country. Kate Snow sits down with who?
Kate Snow sat down with Jamie Foxx.
How good is that?
And Jamie Foxx has a special relationship with his younger sister, who actually lives with him as well. And she just so happens to have Down syndrome. So it's a look at their relationship, but it's also a larger look at the relationship between siblings, one of whom might have a special need of some sort. It really, this morning on the Today Show, we showed just a clip of the interview, and Jamie Foxx and his sister were having this dance-off. And the takeaway was that Jamie Foxx's sister may be a better dancer than Jamie Foxx.
That's tremendous. I have a special needs brother, and anybody listening who has some a family member, somebody you love, you learn 10 times from them what they ever learned from you. It's just a fact.
That's exactly what Jamie Foxx said this morning. Jamie Foxx says his sister has taught him how to live, and a lot of the things that we worry about, a lot of the things that we allow to consume us in the grand scheme of things really aren't all that important. But so that's part of Dateline. The part of Dateline that's probably going to be of most interest to the folks there in Chicago, we're updating that story. You may remember this. Last year we did this story on Orr Academy. It's this basketball team. These guys surprised a lot of folks by winning the state championship last year, and spoiler alert, although I'm sure your audience already knows this, they did it again.
Yep.
So we're updating that story tonight, and Coach Lou, and it was, I've had the opportunity to do a number of stories that have been impactful, and you get a lot of feedback. That's one of those stories that I did that got a tremendous amount of response, and also one of the stories I was really proud of as well, because it's these kids who obviously love the game of basketball, but it's about so much more than just basketball for these boys who live in that community. And it's so anyway.
Craig, and I don't know that I ever had a chance, because you promoted it here before the show last time as well, and I don't know that you ever had a chance to hear this enough from folks. I thought you did a wonderful job of showing how much not just a coach but a mentor in life means. I had a kind of a rough childhood, and there are two people in my life involved with sports that helped keep me between the white lines, and you have somebody like that in your life, you'll remember him for the rest of your life. But I thought you did a nice job of capturing that.
Thank you. And here's the thing about Lou. Lou's doing that for, 15 boys at a time, and has been doing it for a number of years now. I mean, not just on the court, but, a lot of the piece was devoted to the influence that Lou has had on these boys' lives off the court, and he's constantly on his cell phone texting with them, making sure that they're doing their homework, making sure that they got home, not just safe, but alive. It's funny because when I was there for the story, I asked Lou, because he's burned out. He's exhausted.
Sure.
He's got a full-time job in addition to what he's doing there with the basketball team, and I got the sense that he might retire after winning the state championship, that he might scale it back, and come to find out last week, he's like, no, I can't stop, can't do it, can't walk away from it now.
Well, that's what makes him great, right? That's why he's so great at it. That's why he means so much to the kids, because he cares.
Yeah. We profiled Lou Adams, and after I did the story, I found out that there are a lot of Lou Adams out there, a lot of Coach Lou's, who are in parts of this country that don't get talked about a lot, but they are literally saving lives, some through basketball, some through football, some through baseball. That's one of the things I've always loved about sports. Sports, when used properly, it brings people together.
There's no question about it.
It gives kids an outlet. It gives a lot of kids a way out of whatever their circumstance might be. That's one of the beauties of sports.
You know, I would tell you, too, because I had an opportunity recently that a cousin had passed, and I was back in New York for the funeral. And I ran into, because we came from a small high school, I ran into a woman whose dad was a sports mentor to me, and I had never had a chance to tell her how much her dad meant to me. And point of the story being, if you have somebody in your life, doesn't have to be a coach, could be a teacher, could be a guidance counselor, don't assume they know. Don't assume they've heard it enough. Reach out while you have time and tell them you love them and tell them how much they meant to you.
Tell them how much they mattered.
Yeah,
tell them how much your life wouldn't be what it is without them. And, you know, it's funny because I think that the people who have achieved some, you know, reasonable modicum of success, they all have that. That's one thing they all have in common. They had a mentor, and it's, you know, I had a number along the way who really, you know, shine light on my life, and I'm convinced I probably would not be where I am without them.
By the way, also on Dateline, Katie Turr on sexual harassment in the state Forest Service. Katie Turr's book is out in paperback, which is astonishing to me because she still hasn't done this show. So it's great that she's actually a success. And
and, I'm going to put a bug in her head now.
Yeah, you tell her, man. And Keith Morrison on, we need prison reform in this country. He's going to be talking about the cash bail system. And at some point, if you play your cards right, he will say this word, murder.
You know, have you ever spent any time with Keith, by the way?
Yeah, he's been on the show a few times. Yeah.
Keith is, you know, he works out of California, so I only get to see him a couple times a year. But anytime he's here at 30 Rock, I find out where he is, and I accost him. And the first time I met him, we were having a conversation. And I was like, Keith, you know, what do you have? How are you? What's, you know, what is it like? You know, and he proceeds to explain to me how he loves coming to New York, but the one thing that he does not love is people who come up to him on the streets, and they're like, Keith Morrison, can you do me a favor? And they take out their cell phone, and they don't want a selfie. They want Keith Morrison in that iconic voice to record a voicemail message for them.
Exactly.
Strangers running up to Keith Morrison, wanting him to use his Dateline death voice.
Right.
This is Steve. Please leave a message. This is Keith Morrison.
Right.
Don't watch alone.
because someone has been murdered.
Right.
Hey, Craig, thanks, man. I appreciate the phone call, and we'll see you tonight.
Steve, thank you. Andy, thank you. Mary, thank you. Thanks, guys.
There you go, Craig Melvin. And again, that story tonight on Dateline. An update on the fight to save kids' lives in Chicago, and Coach gets some good play tonight as well, and he should. I love the fact that he was darn sure he was getting out. I've done enough. I'm getting out. Another season rolls around. Nah, I can't get out. Can't get out. Hi, it's my friend Orion Samuelson. What are you doing for the holiday weekend?
Well, for the holiday weekend, going to Arlington tomorrow afternoon to watch the horses run.
Have you made any money this summer?
No, but Gloria has made some money. She did very well at
the Arlington Million. She always makes money.
I managed to pick the champion or the winner of the Arlington Million, but that was about it for the rest of the day.
Yeah, she is always making money. I'd like to know her system. I think she needs to fess up and tell us.
I've been living with her now for about 20 years, and I still don't know.
All right, I need a new apple. I grew up in upstate New York dairy farm country, and I grew up very close to the Cornell orchards.
The apple industry in New York is a big industry.
Yeah, and the Cornell apple orchards, one of the best. And so I grew up on a variety of apple called Macintosh, which is not that easy to get in the Midwest. Or when you do get it, it's for a limited time.
I grew up with it, too. My mother used it for apple pies.
But it's a great eating apple.
Yes.
All right. So since I can't find Macintosh in a fashion that, you know, serves my my need, I got to find a new Apple. So next week on the show, I'm going to be bringing apples in and eating them live on the air.
You said you were going to do it last night.
I forgot. Okay. So Sandberg, is trying to sell me on some communist apple. What's it called?
Kanzi.
Kanzi.
They're my
favorite.
I thought
it was commie.
I also like the pinata apples.
Do you know what a Kanzi is, O?
No, I don't. I know what a Granny Smith is, and I know what a Honeycrisp is. And, of course, we grew up with Jonathan's and Macintosh and crab apples on our farm in Wisconsin. But Red Delicious was far and away, to me, the best tasting eating apple. Macintosh made the best apple pies.
So you like a Red Delicious. What is different about a Kanzi, Sandberg?
It's more dense. It's sweeter. It's much sweeter than a Red Delicious. And they're...
And what would you compare it to? Rice, sweet corn?
I was going to say candy. I mean, it's a more, almost like pineapple. You know, like it's a juicier...
That may be too sweet for me.
That there's a chance, I guess.
And what variety is it? I didn't catch the name.
Kanzi. Like Fonzie with a K.
I'm reading on the Kanzi's Wikipedia that it's a natural cross between a Gala and a Braeburn. I do love Braeburn, so maybe that's why I like it. But it is sweeter. That's where I'm comparing it to, like, a pineapple. It's very juicy.
Well, Red it turns Delicious brown quickly will if you cut still it. Be the second most popular apple by production, according to the Apple Association, which has about 7,500 growers as members. Third-ranking apple will be the Granny Smith, followed by Fuji and the Honeycrisp, which could rise to third place as soon as 2020, coming just 3 decades after its introduction. And, of course, you know, Steve, we have a good friend in Michigan, Herb Teichman.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And he planted and collected historic apple trees, had an orchard of just historic apple trees. And I think he probably had 30 or 40 different varieties that went way back to the mid-1800s. And so, but we have seen the industry trying to come up with the new varieties that will be attracted. I found it interesting, too, that the Red Delicious was started in Iowa by an Iowa farmer in the late 1800s. And it happened because he was trying to kill a Red Delicious tree on his property. After several unsuccessful attempts at killing it, he gave up. And by the 1890s, he entered the Red Delicious, which he had named Hawkeye, into an apple competition, and he won. And then he sold the rights to the contest's host, Stark Brothers Nursery in Missouri. And, of course, that's a well-known nursery in trees particularly. So kind of an interesting history for the Red Delicious.
I like when you were doing the rankings. You're kind of like the Dick Clark of apples.
Yes, yeah. The top hits for the week.
I predict the Kanzi will be making the top five soon, but it's only been in the United States since 2014.
And well, here's what I'm going to do.
It comes from Belgium.
Now, we're off Monday, but next week...
It's a Belgian apple.
Oh, then I'm on board.
Next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I will have a different apple each day that I will bite into on the show, and I will let you know what is going to be the big winner, which of those is closest to my old friend Macintosh. So there's something I've never seen, I've never had before, that's supposedly very much like a Macintosh, and it's called a Jersey Mac. Do you know about that?
I don't know about that one.
I have seen a Jersey Mac. It's not one of my favorites.
You can get them from here?
Yes.
Is this all at Whole Foods? Where are you getting your apples?
Whole Foods, Mariano's has them. Even Jewel has them.
I got to go to a farmer's market.
When you walk
in,
they show you, they're like, oh, here's all the giant thing of Honeycrisp. But then if you look to the side, that's where the little pinata ones are, or the pink ladies I know are a thing people like. I don't like those ones.
Why is it called a pinata? Do you hit it with a stick until it breaks open and
candy comes out?
Tiny apples fly out?
The little sticker has a pinata. Another great one that has a limited run is a Smitten apple. And when Pat and I were first dating, I like to have an apple every night, and so he would get apples at his house from me.
and he would get me smitten apples, which was really cute, I thought.
Yeah, he's trying to, well, he's trying to get you to
Steve,
come to
you
his
mentioned
house.
Farmers markets. This is a great weekend to go to farmers markets because just about everything now at a farmers market is locally grown. You know, early in the season, they have to bring produce in from the south because we don't get started with the growing season as early as they do. But this weekend, farmers markets will be filled with the freshest of produce that you can find, because a lot of these farmers get up at about 3 or 4 in the morning and go out and harvest and then haul it into town. We have a farmers market here in Huntley that is well attended every week, and it'll be open again today. But going to a farmers market gives you the freshest you'll get, because tomatoes very often are trucked in from California. Takes a couple days to get into the supermarket. Not that that's bad, but if they're about 4 or 5 miles away from where you're living, that's even better.
You know, the idea of going to a farmer's market on Labor Day weekend is about as good an idea as you could get. I'm telling you right now. So get out and support your local farmer, or as I like to call them, the people that when I complain about being tired go, shut up! You don't have any idea, Mr. Big Mouth. Talk to you until it's 10 o'clock. All right, well, enjoy the weekend. And tell all the folks, the Duchess Wife family and everybody out at Arlington, and, of course, your lovely wife, Hello.
Okay, and the same to you. Have a safe weekend, though. Oh, the one thing I want to mention, if you're driving in the country, be especially careful of four-way intersections in fields, because the corn is so tall, you can't see approaching cars from either side. So treat every four-way intersection in the country surrounded by cornfields as a stop sign intersection.
Good point, and good advice. Thank you.
Okay.
That's Orion Samuelson. Are you working next week?
Not with you, no.
I think that means he's doing baseball.
But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come in because I want to hear about the apples.
Yeah, okay. Andy Mazur, Sox play the Red Sox. What time?
6:35 pregame, 7:10 first pitch.
Are you doing that?
I will be doing the pregame show tonight from Guaranteed Rate Field.
Okay, and we talked earlier about what everybody's doing for the big holiday weekend. I just got a text from my daughter that in Traverse City, Michigan, where I'll be headed, 80% chance of rain all weekend.
Nice.
So you're staying with relatives in a tiny little house.
Why is this so enjoyable to you?
Well, look,
because
at
that sounds miserable. In a rainy, like you can't even get out. That's awful.
But no. There's a 20% chance it won't rain.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And by the way, if my nephew is listening, it's not about you, it's about me.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he's great, but he can play board games, do puzzles.
Oh, I hate togetherness activities.
What?
That is the worst thing. And we keep seeing all these.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
We keep seeing all these studies about how, like, kids' brains, to undo the effects of the phone. I think that Bill and Wendy always have that doctor on, that psychologist
guy.
Yeah. And board games is like one of the things in playing cards. And Pat, we're terrible. Thank God their mom and stepdad do.
Because
it with
you them, fight over it or what?
No, we won't play them.
And board games are big now.
I hate playing. I know,
huge
I hate.
Now.
There's bars where you can go play board games.
Oh, yeah, Trivial Pursuit, Trivial, all
that's
these
awful
games.
I don't want to interact and like. It's awful.
So
I
just play solitaire by yourself all the time.
I don't play anything. I don't think I'm very fun. I'm busy trying to organize condiments in my refrigerator. I can't be
right.
Anything.
You got a lot going on.
Yeah, gotta worry about that relish.
Yeah. And when we were
I like how outraged you are by it.
Oh, I know. I have very strong feelings about it. And when we were going to Elkhart Lake, Pat and I were like, okay, maybe we'll bring a deck of cards, and maybe one of the evenings after dinner we'll play like a round of something.
But when you were a kid, you never liked playing games?
No, we didn't come up in a big game playing household. We played like outside, you know, with a football and baseball and that type of stuff.
Right.
We didn't
but
play.
I mean, you didn't like playing.
Sometimes my sister and I would play the game of life, but we'd make up our own. Like, she had a family and I had a family, and we lived it. Like, we did our own little, like, it's like playing house with the.
What about Operation? Did you ever play Operation?
I did have Operation. I don't think we were allowed to play that because it made a noise.
I believe you may have had a traumatic incident with a board game situation. Like, you know, somebody went Jenga on you early, and you haven't been able to play board games since.
So, our first board game was
right?
Candyland.
Chutes and Ladders.
Yeah, and I was good at it. And I think my parents lost interest once I mastered that, and then that was the end of the board
game.
Let
me tell you something. You never master Candyland. You only get better. Or Chutes and Ladders or whatever you say.
Yep, Chutes and Ladders. You must have had a traumatic experience with a long chute.
Yeah, maybe.
Pete Zimmerman doing Joe and Pete's job today. Pete, throw those headphones on for a second. Now, you work for Sandberg on the Steve Dahl Eats the Entire Apple show.
Yes.
For how many years?
11.
No longer.
Have you ever seen her more animated or outraged than she was just now about playing board games during a rainstorm with family members?
I am 100% in Mary's corner on that.
Yeah, it's just because you're afraid of her. Back with Bill and Wendy next. On, Bill and Harry next, unless Wendy had a really rough night, on 720 WGN. Pretty unique historical thing going on right now with two funerals for two incredibly famous people, John McCain and Aretha Franklin. I really feel for McCain's family, not just because of the loss, but because how exhausted have they got to be after going through all of these ceremonies, and there's still one tomorrow.
Yeah, it's been very drawn out.
Yeah. So both those are going on right now. Bill, hi.
Hi, Steve.
You got an apple you like?
I don't like to show favorites with the apples.
Because
like
then the apples fight?
The apples will fight, and who needs that aggravation?
No, you're exactly right.
All apples are good, though.
Not all of them.
They're not. They're good, but they're not great. Like apples, people go, "Oh, that's the fruit of America."
Mm-hmm.
Is it though?
No. But do you like a particular apple to eat, or just I'll throw any apple in
I
front of you?
I enjoy green
eat
apples. The red ones are. I find
you know, God didn't make those.
That's what I heard.
That's the voice of Harry Tynowitz. My conscience.
Did you know you worked with Steve Dahl? Didn't you?
For a little while, yeah.
Did you know he ate an entire apple like a goat? Like he ate the entire thing?
No,
I have a core of the entire thing?
No, I didn't know that part. No.
You got to throw some of that out.
Yeah.
Did he eat watermelon rind as well?
I never saw him eat watermelon, just the apple.
Peanuts in the shell, right?
Right, just, yeah, he took the peanuts out and just ate the shell.
Sometimes I eat the peanut, I suck on the peanut shell. Before I get the peanuts.
Don't try to get me off doll eating an entire apple.
For years, they wouldn't let him into Wrigley Field.
One time I saw him eat a file cabinet. Entire file cabinet.
I don't doubt that. It was probably filled with stuff that he and Gary had done that they needed to cover.
That's why he did it. Yeah.
But he wouldn't eat any of the W's.
No. Left that alone. Is that crazy?
You know, Gary won't eat any apples at all now.
Wow. They have grudges.
What are you doing for the holiday weekend?
Nothing out of
you
want
to go to Michigan with me?
I would love to go to Michigan. We always talk about doing it. We never do it. Let's make this the weekend you and I finally go to Michigan.
He's got room in his car because he's not letting anyone ride with him. So.
Buddy trip.
I'm trying to think of what would be more fun than you and me in Hamtramck, Michigan.
Nothing.
For the holiday weekend.
I think the word you're looking for is nothing.
Nothing would be. Let's do that.
Harry, what are you doing this weekend?
Now Michigan.
Michigan with us.
Where on the hand, Steve? Where on the hand are you going?
Kind of between the thumb and the index finger.
Oh.
That's like Kalamazoo.
You know what? Looking at your palm, I couldn't tell from here. Happy Labor Day weekend. We'll see you back here on Tuesday.